Radio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, I got chili for shizzle!
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com is their official site. Ours is OWWRadio.com. It is the number one source for all your professional wrestling news and information. Our number, as always, is 267-297-1397. Don't call yet. You can Skype Sir Rockin' to Words, and he will get you on the air with us. Tonight we will discuss everything involving TNA. Yes, they have a pay-per-view this Sunday, in case you forgot. And judging from the ratings, I think you've forgotten. We'll talk all that fun stuff. We'll talk Kurt Angle's legal issues. We'll talk all the fun of Scott Hall that seems to be turning into car wreck television, worse than anything that Charlie Sheen could ever possibly imagine. We will talk WWE. We will talk about the artist formerly known as Edge, and whether it's a work, if it's a shoot, we'll get into that. We will have in the 10 o'clock hour former ROH star, also former Wrestling Society X star. He is currently a part of the Evolve roster, which is a wonderful promotion in the Northeast, EvolveWrestling.com. If you're listening live right now and you want to go to the website and go like, who are these people? Now you can know. So Jimmy Jacobs will be joining us at 10 o'clock, 9:30. If you're a fan of Lucha Libre USA, a young lady by the name of Rebecca Reyes may sound familiar to you. She unfortunately got married during the first season of the show. We may discuss that with her. She also works in Evolve under the name of Rebby Sky. Before we get to our first guest, we do have some somber news that I know some of the folks on this network are not happy that I'm going to talk about it, but it's news, so I have to. A gentleman by the name of Alex Wybro, passed away at the age of 29. If you are a fan of Ring of Honor, you knew him as Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney. He was generally considered one of the best professional wrestling managers in the Northeast and was spreading out across the country. At one point, I believe he racked up, if you believe him, he was the 18-time ICW Texarkana TV champion. And yes, I actually got to see the championship belt in person when he was here in Florida for the Jeff Peters Memorial Cup. He unfortunately was suffering from substance abuse issues and some very horrible bipolar issues, and it's sad to say he took his life at age 29. He had been in the business since 2004, training under Chris Hero, Mike Quackenbush, and Jorge Rivera, also trained under Playboy Buddy Rose and Ed Wiskoski. As said, he had been all over the place. His group, Sweet and Sour Inc., was one of the biggest heel stables in the Northeast. Chris Hero was involved. Also, at other points, you had Matt Sydal, you had Adam Pearce, Brett Albright, Shane Hagedorn, Bobby Dempsey, The other half of the Kings of Wrestling, Claudio Castagnoli, was involved there. Chris Hero actually said on his Twitter, "We spent a few years together on the road, and Alex was gifted beyond measure. He can enthrall you with colorful stories and from his personal life, or he can captivate thousands with his undeniable charisma. I loved him, and my heart is with his family, friends, and countless fans." So during the rest of this evening, when we take commercial breaks, we'll come back. We received emails from the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Scrap Iron Adam Pearce, the managing partner of Evolve, Dragon Gate USA, and Full Impact Pro, Sal Hyomi, sent in comments, Sal Renaro, Brad Attitude, or Brad Allen, as he's known on our show, Mitch Ryder, Ring of Honor itself made comments. But let's have fun, because the A-lister himself, if you've been to any of the previous Evolve events, and yes, there is one, no, it's not tonight, and it's a good thing it's not tonight, because if it was, we wouldn't be talking with Larry Dallas. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on the air tonight. You know, first of all, I just want to say rest in peace to Larry Sweeney, a very talented guy, and just very sad news and sad day to follow up on. But hopefully we can lighten wrestling fans' hearts a little bit tonight and have some fun.
Oh, I plan on it. Mace is joining us, as always, from Australia. So thank you for being here with us tonight, sir.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me. It's, you know, it's an honor. You know, we're here to talk about the Evolve show and everything else that's going on in the world of wrestling. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. We talked last week with Mason Spug about the debut episode of Tough Enough version 5, I believe is the name we've been joking around with it for a while. And, we had at least on my end of the world, I had the shock of a lifetime. In former Peterson Cup performer and a performer around the Midwest for years in Matt Cross or M-Dog 20, whatever you want to call him, was eliminated from the competition last night. Many of our listeners emailed in at radio@alliworldofwrestling.com and gave holy crap and other colorful expletives. Many felt that he lost it because he didn't step up and become an alpha dog and start dominating the scene, tearing it up. And other people said, well, he was going to be kept and the long-haired kid next to him was gone until he asked Stone Cold Steve Austin for permission to speak. Now, for someone that's been in the business, Mace, let me ask this, because Mace is a trained performer, for fans that aren't aware of it. He performs in Australia all the time. Isn't he kind of performing some form of respect or locker room etiquette to him by saying to him, you know, interjecting himself that way? Or do you think that is the thing that may have cost him? Or was it the issue with Trish Stratus of the Luke or Duke or Bo, whatever the heck the kid's name was, stealing the show, so to speak?
It's a combination of everything, to be honest. You know, he was given an opportunity to get in the ring and shine, and he went deadpan. And he wasn't giving his trainer what he was asked to do. Then later on, as Austin's ripping into him, saying, you know, you've got 9 years in the business. You should do a lot better than you are. And all of a sudden, he turns around and he goes, permission to speak. That's the complete opposite of what Austin was just telling him. You know, Austin was in all rights to get rid of the kid. It's a shame because he's got potential, but Austin's the one doing this, not us.
Yeah, I mean, Larry was watching last night. I know you're watching because I saw you on Facebook last night. Yeah. What was your initial thoughts when you saw that happen? Did you think someone else was heading out the door before Matt got the boot?
I had a feeling, you know, I was on a reality show years ago before I broke into wrestling. I kind of had a feeling that Matt was going by the teasers and everything that was going on. And, you know, the one thing I'll say, Matt would have probably been the most popular guy in a locker room. But once that red light and that camera went on, you're no longer, you know, Matt in the locker room. You're Matt the performer. And, you know, if I saw it on my show and I see it all the time, you know, your job is that when that camera goes on, you got an hour to showcase your personality and make yourself a star. And I think he kind of went in there with the wrong attitude. you know, when I was on MTV, it was with the 50 Cent Show, The Money and the Power. We had a lot of dead air time. You know, they film. You figure every 2 days is a one-hour show in reality television, in the reality television world. You have a lot of dead air time there where they're filming stuff that's going to get cut. And, you know, you need to be on point the whole time, all 48 hours. And, you know, that's the thing where Matt went wrong. He wasn't entertaining. He wasn't a performer. He came there with the idea of, I'm the best wrestler here. And you know what? Last week they just announced that it's no longer a wrestling company. It's WWE. It doesn't even have initials that stand for anything anymore. It's an entertainment-based company that's expanding. And, I think that's where he went wrong.
Yeah, I was very stunned that having – when I saw Matt's name originally on there, I was like, oh, wow, cool, because he was here for the 07 Peterson event. And in that event, at one point, he took down the marquee Bruce Antee, who is a legit 6'4", 220-some-odd, and had an awesome match with him. And then in the finals, faced Chris Hero. And I said, wow, okay, this almost seems like Mesa situation of – maybe we're going, they put him in here possibly to go to, I mean, cruiserweight sounds like good. You just signed Sin Cara. You've got a lot of people. Primo Colonna still around, as you saw on Monday Night Raw. And instead they, as Larry said, they just said, well, he's a vanilla midget almost.
Is Mace responding to that or?
Yeah, that's for Mace.
Okay. Phrase it better, goddammit.
I apologize.
Because now I've completely missed the question.
Okay, well I'll rephrase again.
Larry, if you've got an answer, go for it, bro.
I just think with, you know, with the whole Matt Cross thing, and I think far too many people are making this mistake now, you know, you come in, you become a student of the game. So you look back at what wrestling was. But, you know, just like any other business, you know, it evolves, you know, no pun intended there, into a different kind of thing. And, you know, your job is to entertain when that camera's on you. And, you know, yeah, wrestling has its code of honor and its respect code and a way that you're supposed to go about it and carry yourself in that locker room when you're around those people. But, you know, they're giving you an opportunity for 10, 12 weeks to have more television time than anyone on that roster is getting right now to get your personality over. And I think, you know, Matt never met the guy, great wrestler, you know, hell of an athlete, didn't seize the moment that he was supposed to seize on there and get his personality over. Because really, you know, look at Raw, how much wrestling time actually is on Raw. It's a 2-hour program, maybe 40 minutes of actual in-ring work. You know, all we saw yesterday was body slams and a splash in the corner. So they weren't going to showcase Matt Cross, the athlete. They're showcasing the entertainment, the personalities, which is why, like, Luke, for what you want to say about Luke, Luke is standing out right now because he's taking advantage of the airtime. And I think that's where Matt really went wrong.
Well, let me, as I said, Mace is trained. Larry is training. So let me ask this to Mace. Austin said when he was hanging up the belt, you can have 1,000 mechanics in there, but it's, as Larry's saying, it's the personality. And we said it last week, if you go all the way back to the original Tough Enough, when Triple H visited these kids, he said, from the moment you come through that curtain, till you get to the ring, till you come back, you're telling a story. And it almost felt like Mace that Matt Cross wanted to stay in that mentality of, I'm good because I worked in ROH or I worked in IWA Mid-South and I've been on the indies for 9 years. But Austin said, you've been here for 9 years and you should be wowing the crap out of me.
Definitely. With wrestling in all levels, like indie level, WWE, TNA, whatever, character is king. That's what you're always told from day one, is you've got to be larger than life. You've got to present something. You could be the best, you know, in-ring mechanic, you know, of all time, yet without a decent gimmick, without a look, without something to present to the audience, you might as well be doing the job on the dark match.
100% agree. You know, like, I don't care if you hate me or you love me, as long as you talk about me after a show. And, you know, I don't think you were talking about Matt Cross as a casual fan after those shows, and I think that's where he went wrong.
Don't forget, you can call in at any point. Larry will be here for the entire first hour. Our number is 267-297-1397. If you're part of the Skype network, it's Sir Rockin, two words, not one. If you do one word, you may end up with some guy in Scandinavia. Not 100% sure. If you live in the New York City area, this Thursday, we'll mention it now, and then later on, Larry will go into exact detail on it. If you want to party with the folks that are involved in Evolve Wrestling, you can do it this Thursday night. Go to EvolveWrestling.com. If you're on Facebook, it's Evolve Wrestling Official Facebook Group. That is a heck of a mouthful. And then some there. I apologize. We actually have a caller. Welcome to the show. Your name and where you're calling from.
Tyra from Florida.
Hey there, welcome to our show. Do you have a question for Larry?
Yes, I have about three questions for him.
Okay, question one.
How did you feel performing at CZW's annual Best of the Best in front of the unworthy fans of Philadelphia and only one cheered for you?
The Best of the Best.
That was over the weekend, wasn't it?
That was over the weekend. It's past Saturday. I actually got German suplex by Daisuke Sekimoto. At the end of that match, neck still kind of sore from it. You know, Best of the Best, you know, Chuck Taylor got chosen, to represent Evolve, so it was only natural that I kind of went over there with him. It was a great experience, you know, it's the ECW arena. I think every performer, you know, you set a list of places you want to perform on in your life, you know, when you get into this. You know, you set little goals, you know, bit by bit, year by year, and, you know, the ECW Arena was definitely a place I couldn't wait to walk into as a performer. So to be out there in front of those fans and, you know, that hardcore CZW fan base, it unnerves you a little bit because you know what they expect, but overall it was a great experience. You know, Sekimoto, he defeated Taylor and then dumped me right on my neck, but overall it was a great experience, and, you know, hopefully CZW will have me back one day.
Question number two.
What are your thoughts on Danny Havoc and the crazy monkey match?
the ultra violent championship match between Havoc and Jun Kasai. I remember watching that. It was probably my first time seeing a death match live like that. I remember everyone backstage kind of cracking up at my reactions to everything. It's not my cup of tea. It's something you'd probably never catch me do. But it was, hey, you know what? More power to them. Certainly got a lot more balls than I do.
All right, and your last question is?
Who was your biggest supporter there?
I believe that was probably you. You know, if I remember correctly, you were like sitting like, you know, first row and probably the only person that was cheering me on that night, and also got a nice little picture with Johnny and Chuck and myself. So, you know, I appreciate all the fans, whether you love me or you hate me, but especially the people that love me. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
You're welcome.
And once again, the number is 267-297-1397, or you can Skype Sir Rockin. You mentioned the idea of Combat Zone. As you said, you would never do it in ring, but are you a fan of the former ECW product that's come out of some promotions like that, like UXW and Larry Goodman, and all those people?
I think there's there's a place for everything in wrestling, so that style has its own place and has its fan base. So I appreciate it's not something I would do. But I think it has a place in wrestling, absolutely.
Yeah, we want to welcome Spug to our show. Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking time out for us.
Oh, don't try to be all sarcastic like that. I was dealing with issues.
Okay.
I got to talk to the FBI.
Oh, wait, what? Wow. What did you do this time, and when are we going to be on trial?
No. Do you remember Monday Night Mace when I posted that link, or last night, rather, to the truck that I was potentially buying?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that, and I'm going to warn y'all right now, and I'm sorry for taking up some of your valuable interview time.
It's okay. It's story time with Spug. We like story time.
It's a scam. Individuals all over the world, generally computer programmers, you know, computer artists, stuff like that, will fashion up fake listings that will eventually look like they are from eBay Motors, and they'll post stuff on Craigslist. You know, like the truck I was looking at buying was an 06 Ford F-150 4x4 for about $2,800. And the reason why I freaked out was that's a $20,000 truck, for one. And two, the woman, quote-unquote, who was selling it, was supposedly leaving for Afghanistan. Now, part and parcel, you know, when all is said and done, before I find out this is a scam, it all looks, you know, more legit than legit. And you talk to the woman through email, what I thought was a woman through email, and it finds out that I'm talking to an Englishman from London who is trying to, you know, it's a scam. I mean, it's a 100%, you know, just dirty, nasty scam. So I got to talk to the FBI for a little bit.
Did you ask where the X-Files are?
No, but I did ask who shot JFK, which promptly got me hung up on.
Now, was it Tracy Smothers and Little Guido? Like, which members of the FBI were you hanging out with today?
Tommy Rich.
No. The FBI.
We know. This would be Larry Dallas. Welcome, Spug. In case you're just joining us, Spug is here. The other interesting thing to come out of this situation, you were here for last year's Peterson event.
Yes.
And you've been involved with this promotion.
Yes.
And you heard the rumors that FIP is pretty much kind of closing up shop in Florida, and I believe has a date in May set for the middle part of upstate New York, like the Westchester County area.
May 21st in Newburgh, New York.
That's where it'll be. Do you think this is a slight to the fans in Florida? Do you think Florida was just burned out and this is Sal moving into newer territory to go, or is he going after the New York market again?
See, it's a different part of New York. You know, I live in Westchester County right now, which is about 50 minutes outside of Manhattan. So this Newburgh area is another 50 minutes to an hour away from me, further north. So it's a different part of New York. I don't know if it's a slight on Florida fans so much. I know FIP is something that he cares about very much. He cares about very much. FIP is a big part of his heart and, you know, his passion and his business. He loves FIP. I would think that they'll probably run Florida and New York. You know, it's just the logistics of getting everybody down to Florida on a monthly basis is just such a, you know, you're talking about using primarily East Coast talent. And then it's all under the same umbrella, you know, the WWNLive.com umbrella is FIP, Evolve, Dragon Gate. It's a lot of the same rosters, just, you know, different presentations of the product. You know, Dragon Gate USA is going to be more edgier and talent, and based on, you know, in-ring work and stuff like that. Evolve is going to be more about wins and losses, and FIP is going to be the old school, you know, heel face dynamic of pro wrestling. So I think he's going to try out the New York market, but I'm sure that they'll, That they'll be back down to Florida before you know it.
And now
I have a question for Larry.
Uh-oh.
I got
Yankees
an answer for you.
Yankees or Mets?
I'm a Mets fan.
Whoa.
Okay.
What's the wrong one?
You can stay.
Well, yeah. Thank you, buddy. I guess what, you're like a Cleveland Indian fan or something?
I'm just a baseball fan.
Are you now? Okay.
I mean, I watch the Indians. Truth be told, I'm kind of more of a Pirates fan than anything.
I wouldn't really admit that if I were you.
Yeah, I try not to.
You know, but the Mets aren't much better. We spend about $200 million more than you do for about the same record. So, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah, right.
Would you like to be part owner?
Would I like to be part owner of the Mets? I'd probably do a better job running the team, you know. you know what? That's probably not something I'd ever want to. I don't think I'd ever want to own a sports team. It just seems like too much stress. And, you know, if I had to do, like, doing a radio interview like this once in a while is cool. But if I had to deal with the New York media, that's a whole other level of scrutiny.
As we all remember, see Bobby Bonilla on Wikipedia or YouTube if you'd like to find out how fun the New York media really is.
Good old Bobby Bonilla.
So sad. He was so good with the Pirates, too.
You know, the Pirates, you guys had, like, Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla once on the same team. Like, if you just think about that outfield that you guys had, like, oof.
Back to back in the order, too.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame what
happened. People would pitch. The funny thing is I would see pitchers. People pitch to Bonilla or pitch around Bonilla to pitch at Bonds, and then Bonds would just, you know, crush them.
Yeah.
Bonds led the NL in extra base hits like 3 or 4 seasons that he was with the Pirates. It's crazy.
Yeah, before we go to break, Larry, give everybody the information on where you're hanging out this Thursday night in case you forget to do it.
No problem. This Thursday night, I will be in Pleasantville, New York at a nice little bar called Lucy's Lounge. It's like a martini type of bar. And it's like a martini lounge. Got couches, nice little decor, music. And we'll be doing the VIP launch party for Evolve's pay-per-view. iPay-per-view on WWNLive.com this coming Tuesday. But Thursday, open to the public, fans, workers, random people that want to straddle on in. You know, we're going to roll it out and do it up big, you know, VIP style at Lucy's. I'll be there. Got some special guests that have been talking to me about possibly coming. So it's going to be a really exciting night, and it's just a chance to kind of celebrate, you know, the growth of everything the past year.
Did you ask him the rib question?
No, we haven't gotten there yet. We're going to get there because we're going to have Rebecca or Rebby Sky, also known as Rebecca Reyes from Lucha Libre USA on. So we may ask.
Is Larry staying with us?
Larry will be here. Larry's going to be here for the whole first hour. The event is next Tuesday night
at BB
King's. It is Evolve 7 at BB King's Club and Grill. If you live in New York City, if you know where the AMC Empire 25 is on 42nd Street, it's right across the street. You can't miss the big BB King logo. The bell time is 8. The doors are at 6. The actual street address, if you're going, I don't know where the movie theater is, it's 237 West 42nd Street. Listed on their website right now as the possible main event is Chuck Taylor, who is 4-2 in Evolve, taking on Akira Tozawa.
Actually, they just announced today the fans voted for both between that and Moxley and Aries, and Moxley and Aries is now the main event to that show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, John Moxley's final Northeast independent appearance before he heads down to FCW. He'll be on that Tuesday show in the main event.
Now, what do you think about that? Are you surprised? Are you happy? Are you looking at him going, you don't look WWE material, dude?
I have never been happier for anyone in my life. Moxley is one of the most interesting, fun characters that you'll ever spend time with. I've had the pleasure of being on a couple of road trips with the guy. One of the best promo men in the business. He's got a real good mind for the business, and fans really undersell him on how talented he is because, you know, he's not on social networking like me. He's not, a self-promoter like myself, just a very humble, talented guy. And I think when he gets in there, I think he's going to surprise everybody. I really, really do. It's not just because I like the guy. I think he's going to surprise the hell out of everybody when he gets down there.
Yeah, he surprised the heck out of me at this past year's Peterson Cup where him and Sami Callihan tore the house down in the main event.
All right. Right after he bled about a pint of blood, too, the match before.
Oh, yeah, I was like sitting there typing away, and my friend Jason sitting there with me, and I'm like, Eric Cannon hit him, and he went outside in the garbage, and next thing I know, he's hitting him with clotheslines, and I'm suddenly going, Eric looked like he's wearing a red sleeve. Like, no, that's from Moxley. I was like, oh crap!
Yeah, legit one of the toughest guys, and such a talented performer. Like I said, man, you know, I don't put over people just for the sake of putting them over. Doesn't mean no benefits in life. Very talented guy, and I really think he's going to surprise the hell out of everybody.
All right, coming up after the break, we will be joined by the very lovely Rebby Sky. And at 10 o'clock, we will have Jimmy Jacobs on the line. Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I'm at war with the world and they try to pull me into the dark. I struggle to find my faith.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable fried rice.
No meat. And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean to fry the rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Hello, everyone. This is Matt Hardy, the owner and creator of www.thehardyshow.com. Make sure to check us out. And right now, you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Heard a Hardy Show promo on this show. Yeah, you were doing it. Hi, everyone. This is Matt Hardy. Oh,
all right.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our number, as mentioned, is 267-297-1397, or Skype Sir Rockin'. The A-lister himself, Larry Dallas, is joining us, and I'm going to hand it over to him because he's way better at introducing this next guest.
allow me all to introduce you to the most talented, the most beautiful, and the prized recruit of my faction in Evolve, the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented, the future superstar herself, Rebecca Reyes, a.k.a. Rebby Sky. Take it over, darling.
Oh, hello.
Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you being here with us.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the rub, Larry.
No problem, buddy.
Yep. For fans that are aware of it, as I said, if they're watching the previous six Evolve DVDs, they're looking at it going, I know her. Where do I know her from? And they're going to cue in like I do. They've seen you on MTV2 as a part of Lucha Libre USA, Masked Superstars. I got to ask a couple of those questions, such as, what was your show when they told you not only were you going to get married, you were going to get married to one of the luchadors and have face paint on?
That conversation was really great because you always know when like the writers call you and they seem like they're in a really great mood, which they usually aren't. You always know that they're going to try and sucker you into some kind of crazy scenario. So I get this pitch like, oh, guys, I have a really great idea. You're going to love this. You're going to marry a midget and you're going to cover yourself in face paint and play like you're getting drunk and stoned and taken advantage of in Las Vegas. And I was like, okay, great, wonderful. You know what? I've heard of worse. So,
yeah. How did you get involved with the Evolve promotion? Was it Larry? Was it or being part of Dragon Gate? How did you become a part of this unique product?
I was actually involved with Evolve before Dragon Gate. One kind of just led to the other, but. I had met Larry at a Giants game, a New York Giants game. I'm a huge football fan. And, he was talking to me because I was taking pictures with some Giants fans and, he was like, why are people taking your picture? And I'm like, excuse me, why are you talking to me? And pretty much, you know, the conversation got to, you know, what do you do? And I was like, oh, well, I have a radio show on Sirius XM about wrestling, thinking, okay, this guy's not going to know anything about wrestling. He's going to leave me alone. No, I'm just kidding. And
she's not kidding.
We started talking about wrestling, and it just so happened. He was like, oh, well, do you know Evolve? And I was like, yeah, actually, I was going to go to the last show with Brian Danielson, and I love that stuff. And he's like, oh, well, you know, we should totally do something together. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And it actually ended up happening. So small world, and you never know who you're going to bump into in a parking lot at Giant Stadium.
Okay. Being that you are a mega football fan, whose side do you take in this issue? Because this lockout, I mean, Joe Laurinaitis, Road Warrior Animal's son, came out recently in an article saying, if this thing goes really long, I'm following Dad into the business. Whose side are you on in this? Do you take the owner's side, or do you follow what the players are going with?
You know what? It's hard for me to really take any side because every bit of the argument kind of makes me sick. I'm going to take the side of the fans who I don't think should be punished for this. It's ridiculous the way it's being brought, like drawn out, and it just makes it seem like no one's caring about number one. And number one is who puts the food on the table, and that's the fans. Fans aren't there. What do you have? So, I mean, just show a little bit more consideration, I think. I'm big into fandom and showing support, so that kind of just pisses me off.
Being that you're, as I said, you're a Giant fan, but in the same stadium you have my New York Jets. As someone who appears on camera and does a radio program and whatnot, what did you think with all this Brett Favre, Jen Sturger stuff? Because now they're dragging around saying, oh, she's a gold digger, she did this and that. As a fan of the Jets and as a fan, I never wanted Brett Favre to begin with, and I'm glad his butt's gone because I've got the same guys now. But from a media standpoint, just as a fan and a media standpoint and a woman who is in the business, what do you think of all of this?
I mean, you just got to sit back and think, well, how did this stuff get out there to begin with? I mean, nobody forced these phone calls out. There was some sort of breach of trust between Jen and some friend that she had that worked for some website or whatever the hell it was. But, I mean, something like that happens. You don't exactly go around bragging about it or talking about it and just the fact that it got out to begin with is kind of shady to me. And, you know, then there's, of course, doing, you know, media about it. Just I think there's enough stuff that goes on you know, the players spending more time in jail and in the locker room and just all this backstage drama, I think it's ridiculous. And I think that that whole situation was, like, fed. Like, people were just adding fuel to the fire. Like, they wanted it to be out. I mean, not Brett, obviously, but that whole thing kind of peeves me, too.
I'd be short-lived if I didn't get to ask this, being that you are a Giants fan. Plaxico Burress is scheduled to be released from shooting himself in the leg. Would you re-sign Plaxico?
Oh, without a doubt. Yes. In a heartbeat.
100%.
Especially now. Smith's got his little issues. I mean, we need somebody. I would love to have Plaxico back.
Were you surprised they didn't re-sign Tiki?
I personally didn't want them to sign Tiki, so I was more happy than surprised. But no, I wasn't really surprised. I mean, I think the way he went out was fine, and I'm surprised that he wanted to come back to begin with, so that was very odd.
Yeah, our number, once again, is
a high-priced divorce will usually do that to you, you know?
And then some.
Oops.
Yep. Yeah, our number, once again, is 267-297-1397, and you can Skype Sir Rockin. Got an email question a few months ago. Lucha Libre USA suffered a loss of solid Chris Long, Marco Corleone's partner. Can you offer any thoughts or memories on him?
Oh, gosh. You know, Solid was like my first friend in that promotion. I mean, he was the first guy who like reached out and was really nice and spoke to me. And he really spoke to everybody. And he kind of, everyone kind of liked to label him, oh, he's a mark, because he was just the biggest wrestling fan. He just knew everything about everyone, about everything, and he loved the business. And I know whenever someone passes, I mean, people say, oh, he loved the business so much, but I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I have never met anyone with so much passion and wasn't ashamed to show it, which was so refreshing, because a lot of times, you know, if you're a worker, you don't really want to show that side. You know, you want to be like, oh, I'm cool, I'm not really that much of a fan, but he was into it, and it was a really great energy to be around, and it's totally not the same without him there at Lucha Libre USA, and I miss the hell out of him.
Rebby Sky joining us here on All in World of Wrestling Radio along with Larry Dallas. They will both be appearing next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock at BB King Blues and Club and Grill, which is 237 West 42nd Street. As I said, if you know where the AMC Empire 25 is, just turn around and it's sitting right there. As you mentioned off the air to us, can you give fans an update on the actual on-air status of Lucha Libre USA? Because I've tried emailing the media contact that we had that got us, Marco Corleone and RJ Brewer, and I keep getting this, it's to be determined. Have you guys been told anything? Because I know you guys have done a couple tapings out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I believe it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess technically we're just about done with filming season two. And, you know, when I hear to be determined at this point, it's almost like they don't know, because we've been given so many different, oh, March, oh, January, oh, next June. And, you know, the dates come and go and still no air date. So, I mean, it's a little disheartening and it's a little scary when we've got like Impact now in our time slot on MTV Tres. And, you know, the Bellator show and the MMA, like how much fighting could you possibly have on one network that isn't a fight network? But, you know, I do have hope and we are working really hard. The production value is just completely a whole different story for season two. Everything is a million times better. We have a lot more talent signed on. I mean, just great surprises and stuff. So I really hope that people get to see all this hard work that we've been putting together.
Yeah,
I think we will. There's just no air date yet.
Yep. Her show is called Busted Open. It appears on Sirius XM from, I believe it's 2 to 4 p.m. How did you get involved in hosting that show? And what kind of dealings do you have on a given day with listeners?
Well, how that show came about is I was friends with the producer of Sirius NFL, who's a wrestling fan, and we were just talking, and wrestling came up because it always comes up, I guess. And he had the show already with another co-host, and one day they needed a replacement, and I came in, and I just kept being the replacement, and in time I became the other co-host, and the other guy was let go, and it's me and Doug Mortman and Dave LaGreca, every Monday and Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Sirius 125 XM 241. All Wrestling Talk for 2 hours. That's all we talk about. We have interviews, call-ins, debates, you name it.
Alright, this is Evolve's first venture into Manhattan or New York market itself. The previous six have been in New Jersey in one form or fashion. Take the fans through your experience, and also goes for Larry, because you're both not actual in-ring performers, but you've been a part of the shows overall. What's the overall feel from the locker room and you guys from the previous six events?
You want to start that, Reb, or...
Just in my experience, I would say, aside from maybe Lucha Libre USA, maybe even Tide, it just the feeling in the locker room, it's like everybody's different skill level. Obviously, everyone's immensely talented, but it's like everyone is a team there. Everyone comes together for this product to put on the best possible show that they can. And it's just the feeling is great. The fans are great. And, of course, when you come to, like, the tri-state area market, like New York, Philly, you know, they don't play around. They're passionate. If they don't like you, they're going to let you know they don't like you. If they like you, you're lucky, you know? But, I mean, it's just the overall vibe of everyone is in this and everyone is passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's the difference in the locker room where, you know, sometimes you'll go somewhere, other indie shows, and you'll have people, you know, sitting around tapping their toes, like, oh, let's get this over with. But Evolve, everyone is really into it, and you can really see that come through in the shows.
You know, I've been there since the beginning, since the first show, obviously, and, you know, I've seen the locker room grow, I've seen us go through the changes, you know, the controversies, the issues, you know, people coming and going, and, you know, the second show I believe we had, it was almost like a tsunami, bad choice of words there, it was almost like a torrential downpour of rain that came down there, and, you know, we had... The three main, out of four main roads in Rahway for that second show, three of them were closed by showtime getting there. So,
God,
I was like, you would not believe how hard it was to get to that show, and I live in New York, you know, it's an hour and a half drive. I've seen all of the things that could possibly happen to a young promotion happen, and I've just seen everyone come together and just fight, you know, fight through everything, and it's such a close, like she said, it's such a close, tight-knit group of people that just want to succeed on every level. And it's just such an honor to work there and such a pleasure to be a part of it, especially to work with someone as talented as Rebbe, you know, on a close basis like that. It's just, Evolve means the world to me, and New York City, you know, internet pay-per-view, it's all coming together that one night. It's like a homecoming. I can't wait.
Yeah, I was in attendance at the Peterson Cup event that Davey Richards won and then proceeded to cut this promo to basically set up volume one or edition one of Evolve. And then, of course, all throughout the months following that, everything came out that he was negotiating to go and do stuff with Ring of Honor behind Sal and Gabe's back, and originally, I guess, Evolve was supposed to be built around Bryan Danielson, and that switched. Was there ever any confusion in the locker room or anger in the locker room towards Davey when this went down?
I think wrestling is a business, and I think everyone understands it's a business. And, you know, one thing that you know, wrestlers are good at and workers are good at is we don't get into other people's finances. You know, you just never ask that question. You never get involved with it. Obviously, you know, Davey made a decision for Davey, and, you know, hopefully it worked out for him. And the one thing that happens, though, is whenever somebody leaves, it opens up a spot for somebody else. So it's – I don't think you'd see people going, oh, man, why would he leave? You know, it just motivates you. Someone else is going to step up. John Moxley gets signed. He has his last show this coming Tuesday, you know, a week from today. And, you know, now it's time for someone else to step up and take Moxley's role and stand out like he has in the past year. So I think situations like that, like – you know, it's the business. It is what it is. And, you know, you just want to step up and move on and, you know, and seize the reins of the opportunity that were left by someone's, you know, someone's absence.
Now, as mentioned, this show is the initial launching of WWNLive.com, which is a version of GoFight Live TV where Ring of Honor is based. To use a play on words, this is obviously the next evolutionary step for the promotion. Is what's the error? I mean, for both of you, I mean, this is definitely a big, big step for Evolve to go from just the traditional DVD market to an high pay-per-view situation. Does it change your mentality at all to go, oh, crap, now we're really live?
How about you, Superstar?
Well, for me, I love giving 110% no matter what. If there's two people in the audience or if it's an iPay-per-view or if it's on TV or to-be-determined TV. But I think it's great. I mean, so far the feedback that we've heard from what Dragon Gate has, their experience with WWNLive.com, people are saying just the production value is way more, the sound is better, you know, the camera quality is better, and just everyone's really happy about it. It's an exciting thing for the business right now. I mean, iPay-per-views are booming. I really feel like this is the next big thing in wrestling, this is the next big way to get involved. I mean, it's not just WWE TNA. So many people are stuck in that mindset. There's so much more, and now it's getting so much easier to be able to see this great product. So I'm personally really, really excited about it.
And for me, you know, from my end of it, to me, like, it validates a dream. You know, it makes the struggle and everything you go through when you get involved in a business as hard as wrestling. You know, you get to that next level, you know, and it's iPay-per-view, and yeah, it's a new thing, but as a company, you know, we're all under that one umbrella now, and, you know, you're launching this new technology, and you're bringing it all in-house. It leads to bigger potential for everybody, and it just kind of, you know, gives you that motivation to kind of work that much harder. You know, yeah, you're going to give 110% regardless, whether there's 50 people there or 500 watching at home or 5,000 people watching, but, you know, I would be lying if I didn't say that the motivation level leading up to it doesn't change. You know, I'm hitting the gym a little bit harder every day, you know, dieting a little bit better because you want to look your best, because you also know that you only got one shot now. There's no editing that's going to save me if I screw something up. You know, you got that one moment to make it all look as good as possible. And, you know, for me, it's making me, you know, I can't wait for it. I'm so excited. Like, the anticipation is just building and building. The rest of the week, I'm probably going to be a basket case waiting for it.
Yeah. Two of your charges are in action in this event where both of them are in the big column and win leads. And if fans don't understand what I'm talking about, both Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano have been a part of Evolve since that episode one, edition one, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Both men are 4-2, and the matchmakers have set up three, win leader versus new debuts. Our guest leader in the next hour, Jimmy Jacobs, is involved in this situation. Your charge, Chuck Taylor, will be taking on Akira Tozawa, and Johnny Gargano, oh, do I feel bad for him, he will be taking on one half of the NWA World Tag Team Champions of the Dark City Fight Club. He will take on John Davis. Arrogance going into this, or are you sitting there taking John Davis very seriously because he comes packing 10 pounds of gold?
John Davis is a tag team wrestler, okay? Johnny Gargano has been a singles wrestler most of his career, so yeah, you got the size and the power advantage there, but you know what that just means? That Gargano's gonna, you know, stick and move. He's gonna out wrestle him. He's going to, you know, outwork him. And he's gonna have more endurance than John, because there's gonna be no one there on the apron to tag out to. You know, Johnny spent the better part of a month over in Japan before the unfortunate, you know, stuff that happened over there was. You know, Johnny's been now touring the world, and I think Johnny's gonna take care of business with John Davis. You know, there's gonna be no new guy that's gonna come into Evolve and take the shine away from my guys. You know, Jimmy Jacobs, on the other hand, you know, let him deal with Shima Zion. You know, Shima Zion will take care of him. You know what? Jimmy Jacobs will go to 4-3. But basically, at the end of the day, you know, Jimmy Jacobs is going to lose his match. No doubt in my mind, Johnny Gargano takes care of John Davis. And there's even further, you know, no doubt in my mind that Chuck Taylor, the face of Evolve, is going to take care of, you know, 2011's new hot topic, Akira Tozawa. And we're going to be sitting pretty at 5-2, you know, co-leaders in the leaderboard. And my guys and Rebby and myself, you know, we're just going to take care of business like we always do every Evolve show.
Yeah. Is, from what you've been told, to break down the wall for a second here, is there eventually to be a tag team championship or a Evolve champion, or what do you hope happens here?
You know, I don't know. I don't think right now there's any talks of a championship. Not that anyone's told me. You know, it's taking a different approach to things. And I think, you know, if you look at the MMA standpoint of things, you know, you want to build up a brand first and build up these win leader stuff. And we're going to see where that goes. Eventually maybe they'll go to a championship, but right now the emphasis is just strictly on the wins and the loss column. And, that's just what we're going to focus on. And right now, You know, I'm fortunate enough to have two of my guys, the two guys I sponsor, myself and Rebby that we sponsor on top of that leaderboard. And, you know, that's all that matters in Evolve right now are the wins and the losses.
Well, this question's for both of you. I know both of you are fans of the business. Do you like the way that Evolve is building as opposed to going like how Ring of Honor has gone in the past few years where they're so spread nationwide now that it almost seems like they forgot their identity? At least that's what certain people had said to me at events.
I don't think anyone's going to be accusing Evolve of selling out anytime soon. I think it's kind of cool that we're kind of based now in one area. It's kind of reminiscent of territories almost. And I know that's something that a lot of fans kind of miss about the business. So, I mean, it's just, like Larry said, it's a different approach. It's something new. It's something fresh. And it's only going up from here.
Yeah, I like it. I like the fact that, you know, we're building something. You don't want to get ahead of yourself. You know, you don't want to grow too fast. You know, just look at any business model. Take it from anything. You know, the bubble goes up so high and you ride and you try to overexpand. And what it leads to is bad things and bad business decisions. And, you know, it hurts everybody. So to grow slowly, you know, we went from New Jersey. Now we're, you know, taking a big step. Tuesday night, BB King's in Manhattan. You know, that's about as big of a stage as you're going to get independent wrestling, you know, right in the middle of Times Square. And then add the pay-per-view to on top of that. You know, you're expanding a little bit by little bit, but we're taking a big, giant leap for this show and very excited for it. You know, we'll see where it goes from then. There, you know, whether you like me personally, you like Rebby personally, you like Chuck Taylor, maybe you're a Jimmy Jacobs fan or a John Davis fan or a Shima Zion fan, you know, the company's not going to grow without the support of the fans. So if you can't make it there Tuesday, you know, order the pay-per-view. The reviews came out for the first Dragon Gate pay-per-view, and they said we had the best stream, we had no technical issues. You know, the company's committed in-house to putting on the best product in the ring, but they're also committed in-house to putting on the best pay-per-view product, the internet pay-per-view product that's out there also. It's something that we all take very seriously, and I could speak for everyone involved in the organization from that standpoint, from the owner to the guy sending up the ring. You know, this iPay-per-view thing is very big for everybody on that roster. So, you know, without the people listening and supporting it, you know, we're not going to grow. And, you know, we're taking a big leap. Hopefully you support us. I believe it's like $14.95 or $15. You could sit home on your computer chair in your boxer shorts. You know, you can have your little Cheerios with your milk on it. You know, you can just sit there and watch a little pay-per-view in your bathrobe. At 8 o'clock at night, you know, you get to watch Rebby Sky, you get to watch Larry Dallas, you get to watch Chuck Taylor and Akira Tozawa tear the house down. You know, John Moxley's final independent show, guys like John Davis, Shima Zion, Tony Nese from New York City, a bunch of guys getting their first opportunity on a national stage. You know, you're going to be able to get in on the ground floor of something special, and I guarantee you from everybody involved, we are excited about the chance, we're excited about the opportunity, and we cannot wait for next Tuesday night to show you all what it's all about.
Now, before we let Rebby go, because as I said, she has her own show on XM 125, what was the general feeling from your listeners and from your crew, or from your email and people you talk to, on the retirement of Edge? Do you think it's a work? Do you think it's a shoot?
I'm pretty sure it's a shoot. I mean, just from the reaction of everybody. And, I mean, what reason would they have it? It doesn't make sense to be in the program right now out of nowhere, Edge retiring. So, you know, all the best to him. And it's a good thing that he was able to address this before anything got worse. I mean, we've seen what can happen to guys who just keep going and keep pushing themselves. And we haven't had our show tomorrow, actually, will be probably all about that. So don't really know the fan response yet to that, but should be really, really interesting to find out.
Yeah, I think it's all a shoot also. And, you know, Edge had a great career and, you know, good luck to him, whatever he does now with the rest of his career or rest of his life, rather, I should say. But yeah, I think it was definitely a shoot.
Yeah, I'm sure if he's gonna stay somewhat involved, he's got a real creative mind, and we wish him nothing but the best. No, for a guy who was strictly a tag team performer, if you had told me that out of that tag team, he would go on to hold, I think it was 31 championships throughout his entire time in the company, I would have, yeah, not that guy. No way. fake vampire from The Brood, as he said. The event is next Tuesday night. As said, it is at B.B. King's Blues Club and Grill in Times Square. You can buy tickets by either calling 267-519-9744 or going to evolvewrestling.com. It is WWNLive, all one word, .com for the iPay-per-view, which you can watch tomorrow, next Tuesday at 8, and then listen to us at 9. You can turn down the audio on the pay-per-view, because is Lenny Leonard doing the commentary for the pay-per-view, or is he just the Vols ringing out?
I think Lenny Leonard will be doing the commentary for the pay-per-view.
Oh, okay, maybe then you might want to keep Lenny's voice up a little bit.
Yeah, you got a podcast, they can get you on iTunes, and it's WWN is in Nancy. Live.com, and then also, you know, just a little free plug for Rebbe. You want to check out Rebbe, some more of Rebbe's stuff, RebbeSky.com, and if you want to find me on Facebook, it's Facebook.com/LarryCDallas, and just check out the show next Tuesday, and, you know, we hope everyone enjoys everything.
All right, coming up after the break, we will be involved once more. We will evolve to have former ROH star, former Wrestling Society X star, and a man who is currently 4-2 in Evolve, Jimmy Jacobs, will join us on All My World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
Defeats, ladies and gentlemen, the American Dragon, Ben Danielson. Munanai Sawa.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Lucha Libre USA superstar RJ Brewer from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Online World Wrestling Radio with Alan, Alan something. I'm not sure what his name, last name is. Watch, whatever.
Thanks to Rebby Sky of RebbySky.com and Busted Open, which is on Sirius XM 125 from 2 to 4 Eastern. Don't forget Larry Dallas, who has Larry C. Dallas on Twitter. Rebby Sky is just as you would think on Twitter. 267-297-1397 is our phone number. You can also Skype Sir Rockin, and he will get you on with our next guest, who is a part of next Tuesday's Evolve 7, which the main event is now announced thanks to the fans who voted it. Austin Aries will take on John Moxley. Our next guest is 4-2 in the promotion and will take on Shima Zion, who is making his debut. We welcome Jimmy Jacobs to Online World of Wrestling Radio. Thank you for joining us tonight.
What up?
Unfortunately, as I said, this was supposed to be a real happy up show until the tragedy that is Larry Sweeney. Can you share any thoughts or memories you have of Larry and your time with him in Ring of Honor?
Oh man, you know, he was the best, and I'm not just saying that because he passed away. I mean, I know, you know, after people pass away, they kind of sort of glamorize their lives and everything. But Sweeney was the man. He really, really was. He was a charming guy. He was a good guy, and he was as talented as a performer as really ever been around. And you know, it's really sad. You know, 3 years ago, he was this star on the rise, and it's so much going for him. And then you know, slowly this past couple of years, it's just been really hard. You know, struggling with, you know, mental illness and everything. So, you know, it's really, really sad that it had to end this way.
Sal Haomi, the founder of FIP, and also he's been involved in Dragon Gate USA and Evolve, said, Alex was born a generation too late. He was born to be an old-school territory worker. He should have been driving his Trans Am from one town to another, drawing huge houses and even huger heats. Rest in peace, my friend. He was one of those, just, you saw him. I was in attendance at the Peterson Cup a couple of years ago where he had a match with Sal Renaro where it was just like, let's see who can out-heal each other. And I'm just sitting there with some of the talent on the show going, oh my God, this is amazing. Did you ever sit there and just watch him and think like Sal did, where he would have fit great into the Crockett promotion back in the day?
Back in the day, now, today, tomorrow, it doesn't matter. Like, what's good is good. And he was good. And I told him all the time, I was like, dude, you should, you know, try to get your spot in WWE. Cause, you know, even though they don't have male managers or whatever, like, when something's good, it's good. And Sweeney was awesome, man. And, just a talented promo, charismatic guy. And, you know, he was great.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Jimmy. You said before we came on the air when we were talking to you that it was okay to ask you anything.
Yeah.
Uh oh.
And so here goes, because I'm gonna try and make you chuckle a little bit. On a lot of dating sites, you see people's personalities compared to the type of underwear that they wear. If Jimmy Jacobs were a pair of underwear, what type of underwear would Jimmy Jacobs be?
I've never heard of that before in my life. What are you talking about? Dating sites and underwear? I've never heard of this.
It's a theory he's had. He's definitely a bit ahead of the curve.
I am.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, according to him, it is. I'm married. He's married, but apparently his friends have told us that this exists. I don't know where it came up.
Well, I've never heard of this, but I guess if I had to pick one, I'd go with Commando, because what you see is what you get.
Whoa. Okay.
Hey.
There you go. There you go. See, expertly answered.
Earlier in your career, you were a part of the unique promotion that was IWA Mid-South.
Guys, real quick, before we get off Larry's screen, I do want to mention something because I feel it necessary to mention. I saw it was reported on The Observer, when they reported about his passing away, they mentioned, how he struggled from mental illness and drug problems. And as somebody who is, I would say, fairly close to him, I'm not going to say I was his best friend, but we were close. He confided in me, and I visited him when he was in jail. I helped, try to get him on his feet when he was going through a lot of his stuff. I have never heard of him having a drug problem, and I've checked with a couple of his other friends that are close to, and they've never heard of him having a drug problem. So I just want to put that out there that I thought that was a... I emailed Brian Alvarez to ask where he had heard that from, and I don't know. I don't think that's true, and I don't think we need one more... the whole thing is tragic enough to add on that he's just another wrestler with a drug problem that died too young. So I just want to put that out there that I'm gonna call possible misinformation on that one.
Well, that's the unfortunate part of some of the journalists that are involved in what we do. They try to sensationalize the story. And as someone who has met Larry on a few occasions at either FIP or Ring of Honor events or even the Peterson Cup, I never found him to be that way at all. I found him to be one of the very personable, very approachable, and didn't matter what time of the day it was, he had a smile on his face, at least when I was around him.
Yeah, he was a great dude. And it's not like knocking over Ezra Meltzer or anything. It's easy to get things misconstrued or think maybe he did have a drug problem because, his bipolar, it was serious, serious stuff, man. And I was in there, sort of in the trenches with him when a lot of the hard times were going on. But I just wanna let people know that's really not true. My knowledge, a lot of his close friends. So, yep. Unless they know something we don't, which I don't think that's the case. So yep. I just want to put that out there. Just continue.
Cool. Not a problem. We are interactive on this show with folks emailing questions in and also in our chat room. One of our listeners, Jersey Girl, wanted to know, in your opinion, which was the better stable for you to be a part of, Age of the Fall or Lacey's Angels, and why?
I think Age of the Fall had some more legs than Lacey's Angels. That was fairly short-lived. With the team of me and BJ Whitmer managed by Lacey. I think they only did that for a few shows, to be honest with you. Me and BJ teamed as a babyface tag team for a while, but then when we were like the new Lacey's Angels, that was only for a couple months. That did not work.
Yeah. What do you think? Have you talked to Tyler Black, known also Seth Rollins lately? How do you think he's been doing in FCW?
Yeah, man, I talk to him, on a semi-regular basis, maybe once a week, once every other week. And he's doing well. I try to keep up with the stuff on YouTube, the Florida Championship Wrestling TV show, and I read the results, and he was like one of their secondary titles he held, and he's also the tag team champion with Richie Steamboat. I don't know if that's changed or not. Clearly he's doing well. In my view, he can't not do well. I mean, he's awesome. So he should cream rise to the top, and he'll get to where he needs to be, no doubt.
When I met you at the 2004 Peterson Memorial Cup, you at that point were still known as the Barbaric Berserker. What made you change into the current motif you've had, especially with the Age of the Fall and when you were in Wrestling Society X? Was it just a personal decision, or was there a promoter that came up to you and said, maybe you should switch to this idea and see how it goes?
Okay, well, I mean, You mentioned my current persona, you mentioned Age of the Fall, and you mentioned Wrestling Fatty X, and those are all three different things, and various transformations and evolutions that take place to get to all those spots. As far as, if you're asking, why I ditched the furry boots and the sauce, to me it'd run its course, I suppose. I mean, I'd have done it forever if people loved it forever, don't get me wrong. And it runs course on one level, and Gabe, who was booking Ray Bond, I don't think at the time he wasn't particularly a big fan of the deal, and so it only got me so far. It only brought me to a certain level in that company, so something needed to change. So you gotta evolve, man. And so I've gone through a few different reincarnations and whatnot since that time. It's many lifetimes ago.
Now, going back to your early part of your career, you were a part of IWA Mid-South, and unfortunately the last couple of years that promotion has had its issues. What do you hope when fans look back as the lasting memory of IWA Mid-South in your mind?
I mean, it was, when you say my early part of my career, I mean, I worked for Ian there for the better part of, 8 years, I think. I started working for him in 2002 and all the way until last year was the last time he ran. People think, and maybe he is, Ian Rotten's an easy target. People love to hate him. Yeah, he's made some bad business choices. But people just love to hate on him, because of this, and love to bash all the things he's done. The fact is, Ian's contributed a lot to professional wrestling, and, that can't be denied. He's really given guys a platform to perform to that next level, to help develop them to that next level. I mean, he was one of the first guys not only to give me an opportunity, but also one of the first promoters to really care about me growing and had a hand in trying to help me grow and putting me in the ring with guys that were on, levels above me that I could, be in the ring with and, learn from and whatnot. And Ian did that with a lot of guys, it's cliche, but yeah, man, he did it with, Punk and Cabana and Hero and, the current Evan Bourne and Delirious and myself and Alex Shelley and, who else? There's a few other guys in there, I'm sure. So I hope that people look back at, Ida Mid-South as, there's a lot of cool shows and there's a lot of cool matches and a lot of cool stuff came out of there. And it's a shame if people just want to focus on the negatives, which a lot of times they do, but so be it.
Yeah, you've been everywhere. And if you don't believe me, fans, go to onlineworldofwrestling.com and check our profile area. It's the most extensive you'll find in the business. And you look up Jimmy's profile. He's been everywhere from AAW to All American to WFX up in Manitoba, Canada. To Evolve, which we'll talk about in a moment, to Ring of Honor. Is there a particular promotion that when you got there, maybe like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or ROH, that in your mind you said, I have made it on the indie scene now that I've worked for this promoter?
I mean, of course, Ring of Honor was like that, and when I first worked for them, that was, June of 2003, and, I was 19 years old. We were all, it was me and Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, and me and Alex Shelley were still trying to, make names for ourselves. Sabin had already, been in TNA at that point. And, I just remember, being, super excited to be on the show, and, I just remember this moment, we're leaving the building, and there's fans waiting outside for the wrestlers, which, on any other indie show is like, It felt so big time. There's like these fans like waiting for you, and there were these girls that had like roses, and they gave us roses as we left. And I remember getting into the car, almost like a quasi minor, celebrity, especially you're 19 and in your head, it's like, wow, this is awesome, compared to working in some bar for $25. And I remember my brother calling me up and right as I was getting my car and crying and be like, man, you made it. And of course I didn't, but when I was 19, it felt like I did.
Now, as I mentioned, you at one point were Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Tag Team Champion, defeating Roderick Strong and El Generico. I've met plenty of folks that have been a part of that promotion, including Roderick and Human Tornado, Joey Ryan and Disco Machine. That's definitely one of the more interesting promotions you could ever be a part of, with the catchy names that they've had, including Battle of Los Angeles, which is their annual indie-style tournament, like a Peterson Cup or a Sweet Sign 16 Ted Petty Invitational. How did you feel going to that promotion, especially because it's owned by wrestlers like Joey Ryan and whatnot? Was it run differently than anywhere else, like ROH or working for Ian back in the day?
I mean, every company you work for, of course, is going to have its own unique feel to it. You know, the first time we worked for PWG, it was actually piggybacking off of Wrestling Society X. So it was like late 06. And that was cool. You know, me and Tyler worked with Mortis Machine Guns for the first time. Before they were the Mortis Machine Guns and before we were Age of the Fall. And, you know, we came back later in 2008. And, I mean, PWG was always cool and always had, you know, cool crowds and everything. And, you know, we met guys and worked with guys like the Young Bucks and everything there. So, I mean, it was cool, especially being out there in LA and California. Always neat.
You were part of both Evolve and Dragon Gate USA. I want to ask a couple DGUSA questions first. Were you a fan of Dragon Gate before you were ever approached to be a part of it? And what did you think of some of the styles that they've had, like the Frey match that you see if you watch their iPay-per-views?
Of course, you know, Ring of Honor used to bring in the Dragon Gate wrestlers every so often, especially, you know, it became a thing that once a year, WrestleMania weekend, the Dragon Gate wrestlers would have that, you know, six-man tag match. The first time they did was in Chicago in 2006, and just, you know, Meltzer gave like 5 stars for the first time in a long time, because it was awesome. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And I remember showing that match to so many people, because the Dragon Gate performers, they're so unique, and they have something really special. They have their own niche in wrestling. They've really created something really special. So, I mean, not only was I a fan of their work, but I knew them, of course, you know, from being in, having been in the Ring of Honor and everything. I'd worked with them in Wrestling Society X as well. You know, guys like, you know, Yoshino and Genki Horiguchi and Shingo and BB Hulk. So I was familiar with those guys, and I knew those guys, you know, before coming to Dragon Gate USA.
Once Evolve came on the map after Peterson Cup last year, were you one of the first people they approached, or how were you approached to be a part of Evolve, and what do you think of the concept of this win-loss situation? You're 4-2 in the promotion, so take us through that actual setup, please.
Well, you know, as far as when I was contacted about it, or if I was the first person to be contacted or whatever, I don't know. You know, I know he had talked to David Richards, because initially David Richards was supposed to be very focal, one of the main focal points of the company. And of course, before that, it was supposed to be Brian Danielson, who actually came up with the name Evolve. But when Gabe did end up calling me about the project, I was thrilled to be a part of it. You know, I of course wanted to work with Gabe again, and I thought it was a unique concept, and I thought he's unique enough where it was something different, but it wasn't trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, I think a lot of times in pro wrestling, you know, especially certain companies, try so hard to do something so different. They like to do things for the sake of being different. And then all of a sudden you end up doing things like having reverse battle royals and, you know, matches that are just hokey and wacky and you lose the people on them. I think the concept of Evolve with Rippling Loss Records, it just adds a different twist on things. It adds different ways to set up personal issues between guys, and different things are on the line. You know, there's no Evolve title, but you have the wins leader. You have the winning streak leader as well. So there's different things that are on the line. There's different stakes involved. And, you know, wrestling's all about, you know, personal issues and things being on the line and stakes and all that stuff. It's just a different way to tell a story. It's a different way to build drama.
Someone has taken advantage of our Skype network, and it's Randy McWilliams. Welcome to the show, Randy. We have a question for Jimmy.
Yes, I do. I remember when I watched the cage match you had with Whitmer for the first time back at, can't think of the Supercard of Honor 2, right?
Might have been.
I think it was 2.
And, sorry about that. And it really got me into ROH because I really liked the match a lot, and I watched it recently again, and it still holds up to me, but, and not, anyway, sorry about that. I don't even know why I'm so nervous. Anyway.
It's Jimmy Jacobs. It's okay.
That's why. I know.
Cool. He's cool. We're honored he's here with us.
Jimmy, so did you ever find it weird that the fans just never cheered you during your Age of the Fall time? Because I looked through like all pretty much any Age of the Fall tapes I'd see or video, it would always be you getting booed, especially when Lacey turned on you for Austin and won the fans through like a, they were throwing streamers in the ring because they were so happy.
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words. I appreciate the compliment as far as that match, BC Whitmer in the cage. You know, a lot of people I know, that's the match I probably could ask about most. It always means something when, you know, somebody says, hey, it's because of something you did at your work that, you know, that's why I got into Ring of Honor. That's what hooked me on Ring of Honor, or that's what hooked me on wrestling. As far as the fans' reaction to me in Age of the Fall, it wasn't really surprising. We put a lot of effort into making sure people were to cheer for me. And it's, especially in Ring of Honor, it's a fine line you have to walk between, you know, being booed and then being, like, boring and being where, like, people don't want to see you. And, of course, there are, I'm sure, fans that don't want to see me. But a lot of effort was put into making sure that, my character was portrayed as unlikable as possible. And, I was a bad guy when I needed to be bad, but I still held up my end of the bargain as far as the in-ring performance, goes. So I'm not going to say it wasn't surprising, but I will say I was pleased with the results a lot of the time. You know, when Tyler Black and I, beat Jericho and Steen for the tag team titles in Hartford, Connecticut, there was a tournament for the tag belts. And we went over, and the people just started, trashing the ring, just throwing trash in the ring, cups and, all sorts of stuff for definitely a few minutes. That's cool. When Steve Jericho then in turn beat us again in Boston for the belts, and, it was one of the loudest reactions I think I've ever been a part of. People just happy to see them win, happy to see us lose. So, I was happy with the response from the crowd. I think that's what we're going for.
All right, thanks for calling in, Randy. We appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, mm-hmm. Bro.
Thanks for the time.
Yeah. This came in from one of the people that actually works on our website. Can you explain the contra code to people? Because on our website, it's actually listed on your profile. Take us through what it actually is for fans that aren't aware.
The contra code? It's up, up, down, down, left, right, be a start, or select start if you're playing two-player, and you put it in on Contra, and that way you get 30 lives, because the game was pretty hard if you only had 3 lives, and it was a variation of the Konami code, which Konami, being a video game company, had that code put in a lot of their games, and it revealed different sort of cheats.
All right. Okay, because we have people that ask me, and I'm going like, I don't know, I'll ask him. He's the guy that's got it on his profile. This week, as mentioned, next Tuesday night, you are part of one of the 3 matches with a win leader taking on a newing debut person. Both you, Chuck Taylor, and Johnny Gargano, who are managed by Larry Dallas, are 4-2. Taylor's taking on Akira Tozawa. Gargano got John Davis of the Dark City Fight Club. Take fans through your preparation for the interesting person that is Shima Zion.
I just learned about that match myself today, and Shima Zion put a promo online and have some not so nice things to say about young Jimmy Jacobs, and I think it's probably on the Evolve website. If you search for that, I think EvolveWrestling.com, it should be up there. If it's not, well, whatever, don't look at it. Shima Zayn had some not so nice things to say about me. Apparently when he first broke in, I wasn't so nice to him. And he had that and more to say. So that being said, can I swear on your show?
Yeah, we just had Larry and we had Rebby on the show. They both were very excited about this iPay-per-view concept and being in New York City. Is this a good thing in your mind to make the trip across from Jersey into B.B. King?
I'm sorry, what? I just asked if I could swear on your show.
You can, you can't. I don't care.
I can swear on your show? Okay.
Yeah,
well, okay. I was just going to say, that being said, as far as Shima Zayn goes, fuck him. Okay, now what was your question?
Yeah, I thought you said that you have Larry on the show. I apologize.
I'm
working on
Larry. Why would I be asking about Larry Dallas? Fuck Larry Dallas.
We asked both him and Rebby. They had nothing but positive to say about this next step going to the iPay-per-view concept through WWNLive.com and going into BB King Blues and Club and Grill. Do you agree with those sentiments that this is the next positive step for Evolve, that it had to move in to Manhattan?
Absolutely. Not only moving to Manhattan, but moving into your homes, man. WWNLive.com, it's on iPay-per-view. It's like, what is it, probably like $15 or something. And you can sit there on your computer and you watch live. As far as Manhattan goes, I mean, what's the saying goes? If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, right? So, yeah, man, Evolve is this Tuesday there. And it's definitely the next step as far as going to that big city. You know, we were there for Try and Get USA a couple months ago. That was awesome. You know, it's right in Times Square. It's really cool. And Tuesday night in New York City, like, if you have nothing to do, you can go out. Tuesday night at home, because there's nothing on TV, you can go to WWNLive.com and check it out. I definitely think that, you know, this iPay for you on WWNLive.com is really what the future is holding. Technology is only going to move forward. Evolve, Dragnet USA, WNLive.com in general is really on the forefront as far as bringing these events to you live at home conveniently. The last stream we had on the Dragnet USA shows over a couple weeks ago, the stream was extremely high quality. I heard a lot of good things about it, especially compared to what GoFi Live. I've heard a lot of problems with them. So WWN Live has been very successful thus far, and I think this Tuesday in New York City will be no exception.
The venue is at 237 West 42nd Street, between 7th and 8th Avenue. If you, as I mentioned earlier with Larry and Rebby, if you know where the big AMC Empire 25 is, just walk to it, turn around, and you'll see a beautiful logo for BB King Blues Club and Grill. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us tonight, Jimmy.
All right, guys, thanks for having me. And, follow me on Twitter, Jimmy Jacobs X. And, man, make sure to check us out, evolvewrestling.com.
Wonderful. Coming up after the break, we will get into everything with WWE, TNA, and we will unfortunately bring up this sad situation of Scott Hall. Online World of Wrestling Radio, we'll be right back.
Looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane.
At least they're not.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy, Congress on Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or DNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Hey, you, go. Wild Talk. Wild Talk. You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey, you go. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, sponsored by OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, ClickWrestle.com, and iTunes, other than the Wild Talk Radio website, where you can find every episode of Online World of Wrestling Radio. You can find all of the WrestleMania memories interviews we did from January until Sid Vicious a couple weeks ago. Thanks to Jimmy Jacobs, Larry Dallas, and Rebby Sky for all taking time out of their busy schedules. They'll be working next Tuesday while we'll be working next Tuesday here. Spug has rejoined us. Mace is doing some paperwork, I believe, involving a future endeavor situation.
Before we go anywhere else, as mentioned, we want to focus on the positives of the passing of Larry Sweeney, and some folks that knew him really well emailed us at radioandonlinewellowrestling.com. As mentioned, he took on Sal Renaro a couple years ago at the Joe Peters Memorial Cup, and Sal was kind enough to write in saying, picking out a favorite Larry Sweeney memory is like picking out what $100 bill you like the most. There is no way to single one out. They're all great. Ironically, some of my favorite Larry stories are the ones that I wasn't involved in, but I was envious of him, such as getting the one-man gang to don the Fez cap one more time and do a dance off as Akeem tops the list. There's the time that he beat Zach Gowan by disqualification when he hit Zach with his own fake leg. There was also a highly underrated match that he had with Brad Armstrong in IWA Deep South. Brad Allen, our McCampus legend and one of our contributors, chimed in. He agreed with Sal 100%. Too many great talks and memories in and out of the ring to narrow it down. He agreed with me in saying that one of his favorites was the match that Sal Renaro had a few years back at the Peterson Cup. I believe it was 2008. He says, I don't need to explain why a 2-minute chicken spot and crisscrossing while hiding under the ring is an instant classic, but it's definitely one of the most entertaining matches I've ever seen. The man was way before his time, and will be missed for sure. Jake Spossetta, who was on when we did our indie night a few months ago, said his favorite memory of, was the one of the first weekends that he was actually at an FIP event. They actually had an impromptu kickball game breakout. I believe this was in Crystal River, with Sal Renaro, Seth DeLay, the Black Market, Jigsaw, and a bunch of others. And Larry was the only one that was in his wrestling boots as he played. Said he was always able to go out there and either be loved or hated to the fullest extent, no matter where he worked. He was the Eddie Gilbert of our generation, and he will be missed not only by his friends and family, but by the fans that had yet to see when he had reached his full potential. Ring of Honor sent over a note saying that they wished to express their condolences. During his time in ROH, Larry Sweeney was a highlight of every event he participated in. With his quick wit and phenomenal gift of gab, Sweeney captured the attention of every fan sitting at ringside or watching at home on DVD, and on the rare occasions he competed inside the ROH ring, he was showed just how gifted a competitor he truly was. Also, the former NWA World Champion, Scrap Iron Adam Pearson, and something we'll get to towards the end of the show. Since you weren't on earlier, Spug, I wanted to get your take on... we talked with Larry and we talked with Mace about last night's elimination of Matt Cross from Tough Enough. We had talked about it as him possibly last week being someone that you could see in the top two or three towards the end. What did you think when you heard Matt Cross, you're eliminated, give me your championship belt?
I don't know how that Skidmark kid made it through, to be quite honest with you. The other thing is that Matt had his opportunity to speak up and make himself known, and he didn't do it. I've seen Matt wrestle in Cleveland, and he's beloved in Cleveland because he's from here, and he always puts out for the fans. But I've seen him wrestle other places, and both Austin and Trish were correct. He's hit or miss. Some nights he's brilliant, and then other nights it's eh.
Well, we wish him nothing but the best. There's been stories, people were saying on the OWW Genesis, which is the official form of Online World of Wrestling, they were saying, well, there's stories going around that all these kids, whether they were good or not, already have developmental deals in place. I'm like, well, if that's the case, why are we doing this damn show to begin with?
Yeah, I've heard that he does have he has an FCW deal, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him in WWE at some point. He's good, very sound wrestler. The other thing is that he can really like if you allow him to get on the ropes and start, you know what I mean. And when he said to Austin last night, I didn't know if we were allowed to, you know, climb up and get on the top. I thought that was legitimate. You know, I mean, I figured that was a legitimate concern of his, because you really don't want to get, you know, screamed at by a trainer for something they don't want you doing yet, even though you have the experience for it.
Yeah, that was right, because it almost felt like they were doing the other versions of Tough Enough that you saw, not the one that was on SmackDown, but where you actually saw the kids training, that it was going, okay, we're doing headlocks, we're doing Bill DeMott crushing us in the corner. So I kind of felt the same way that Matt did. It's like, you never told me, you know, playground's open, bar's open, have a blast here. Tony on our chat room said that Matt messed himself up basically by asking Stone Cold if he could talk. That was stupid. I asked Mace this question. I'll ask it of you. You're in the locker room as a performer. When a veteran like a Steve Austin or someone of that caliber on either WWE, TNA, the indie level, is he wrong in saying that to Austin? I almost felt like he was showing a sign of respect for Austin as opposed to getting in Steve's face like I guess Steve wanted.
Steve wanted him to get into his face, but I think honestly, had Matt gotten into Steve's face like Steve wanted, it might have been received wrong as well. Yeah, it was a sign of respect. I mean, both, because he said something to Bill. He said something about Bill, or no, that was Skidmark or something.
Skidmark kid, yeah.
Said something, you know, it was out of respect to Bill. Matt doesn't strike me as the type of guy, and I'm not trying to talk like I personally know him. I've seen him wrestle, and you know what I mean? Matt doesn't strike me as the type of guy who is, you know, really in your face. He's like Daniel Bryan. You know, unassuming, until he gets in the ring. With Austin, it was a complete sign of respect, because you start talking out of turn when you have a guy like that talking to you, and it can go south real quick.
Yeah, the other weird situation to come out of programming last night, and I believe that show did a 1.81 rating, which, hello TNA, they're an hour long, and they outgrossed you in the ratings, so cool. Was Monday Night Raw and the very sudden, at least to the fans, retirement of Adam Copeland, known as Edge. We asked it to Larry Dallas and Rebby Sky and Mace, so I'll preface it to you. Work, shoot, do you think?
Oh, it's legit.
Leading? Okay.
It's legit. He's done. When he said, thankfully we caught it in enough time that I won't be in a wheelchair. That to me it's over. He's done. You could tell in his voice that he's done.
Apparently it's spinal stenosis is one of the diagnoses he received, which is the narrowing of the canal, which is really dangerous stuff.
Yeah, that's not something to fuck with. This isn't a work. This isn't a program, you know, that they're going to do something with Del Rey. He's done.
Yeah,
as much as
Sir
people
Rockin,
don't. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, Sir Rockin said that on the "We're going to spoil SmackDown for you, kids." Nothing happened. He came out. He gave a speech, and he surrendered the World Heavyweight Championship. So no Alberto Del Rio attack or anything along those lines.
Yeah, he's done. If you want to sit there and you know, for your enjoyment, have him wrestle one or two more matches. And then, you know, watch him get carted out on a stretcher only to end up in a wheelchair. You go right ahead. But I tell you right now, you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And it's a shame because he's not, as he said, he's been with this organization for so long to see somebody go out that way. You always hear these folks say that I want to go on my own terms. And unfortunately, an injury is set Edge, Adam Copeland, to the sideline, and I feel bad. Apparently, our friend the Immortal Bald Spot did not feel that way. I'm not sure if Mr. Hogan was sampling some of his Corona or he was borrowing some liquor from Bubba the Love Sponge. Here's exactly what he said via Twitter. If any of the guys like me, Flair, Hardy, Andre, Double A, Blanchard, Orndorff, Henning would have listened to doctors, we would have quit 15 years ago, but I don't know. Edge's working environment, because they are a media company, not a wrestling company. Wrestlers work hurt. What about Foley? I bet Edge still wants to keep wrestling. He's one of the boys big time. Hogan later came back and said, I'm not saying anything bad about Edge, but he's a real wrestler. Stone Cold and Cena had neck surgery, and you couldn't stop him. Or Edge, if it's an Edge blood, he lives this business. He's a real wrestler. He's a lifer. He's one of the real boys. He's hard to hold down. That's all.
Oh, stop right there, bald spot. He's got a narrowing of the canal in his spine. This isn't... If you had listened to the doctors 10 years ago and quit wrestling when you should have, you might not look like Doc Ock.
Yeah, I mean, is this possibility of a couple too many cold ones at the Terry Bollea household, or is this, I'm relevant, brother, I gotta step in and say something? Being that he worked with Edge a few times.
Yeah, it's just him that he's got to open his mouth.
Yeah, Tony O mentioned our chat room, doesn't Hogan realize that Arn Anderson quit due to the doctor's orders too, you idiot. So to see someone like that mentioned is a little weird. As said, we honor and respect Adam Copeland for everything he's done in his career. As he said, from everything he went through, from being a part of the new brood to being with Christian and Edge, and you're lucky, dude. You now can say on one of his last few appearances, you got a 5-second pose at your event. So give your lasting impression on Edge as a performer. I believe it's 31 championships via single or tag. Where I notice this is a loaded question. I apologize for throwing it at you. Where does he rank in your mind? Is he one of the best of, I know he's one of the best of this generation of the late 90s, the Attitude Era forward. Can you put him up there with a San Martino or Hogan or Buddy Rogers or Flair or Luthez in that era yet? Or was he close and he just didn't get there?
Oof. Oof. That is a loaded question. The thing with Edge is that Edge quite possibly will go down. Oh my God, excuse me. Pardon me. Edge will go down as one of the greatest in-ring performers of his era and his generation, and having some of the most memorable moments in the ring. The live sex show with Lita, WrestleMania 16 and 17, countless ladder matches, just all around a great wrestler and great performer. I don't necessarily know if he was a great champion.
What was he, 9-time, 10-time world champion? It was for short stints, because you remember early on, he won it at New Year's Revolution, and the next thing you know, he's dropping the belt to Superman, and the next thing you know, it's back, and it's not, and it's back, and it's not.
Right, I don't necessarily know if he's a great champion as far as singles titles are concerned. He was definitely a great tag team champion. Definitely a great tag team champion. But I don't necessarily know if he was a great singles champion. So I can't really put him in the vein of a Buddy Rogers or a Luthez or a San Martino or a Ric Flair in that aspect.
Okay, well, put him in a tag team situation. Do Edge and Christian rank high with the Road Warriors, Team 3D.
They're in the top 10.
Bulldogs, Hart Foundation. So they are.
See, I don't consider the Hart Foundation a top 10 tag team.
Okay.
I really don't. When you look at influential tag teams, I think you have to look at, LOD, certainly, the British Bulldogs, the Rockers, and not necessarily because, they didn't win the tag titles, but their
style. Well, they did, but they didn't, if you follow wrestling.
Their style, their wrestling style, helped usher in a new era in wrestling and in the WWF at the time. LOD, the Rockers, the Midnight Express, any combination of the Andersons, you know, Ole and Gene or Ole and Arn, the New Age Outlaws, the Outsiders as a tag team. You know, those are teams that I would put well before the Hart Foundation.
Okay, is he? I don't know about to say this is the same group
yes.
put in Drew Carey into the Hall of Fame, but is he
yes.
Hall of Fame material?
Yes, he'll go in next year.
Or would you save him? Because I'm not sure the media outlet was saying it, but there's rumors apparently going around that Mania 29 is possibly going back to Skydome or Rogers Center, as it's called now. Do you save him if that's the legit thing? Put him and Trish Stratus in together in that year?
If that's the legitimate case, then yes, I would save him for then.
Because you already got The Rock probably lined up for Miami.
Well, The Rock's going in at Miami, and I don't necessarily know if I like this whole let's save inductees for their hometown thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know if I like that idea too much. But the if it's going to be in Toronto, then yeah, go ahead. Oh, excuse me. Then go ahead, save it for Toronto, and induct him and Trish, because those are obviously going to be your two big ones. Mm. And while you're at it, induct Dino Bravo.
Because
you put Drew Carey in, you might as well put Dino Bravo in, too.
We can put everybody in. We may put in Hornswoggle at some point in his career or not.
Oh, come on. Hornswoggle deserves to be in there. Have you seen the way Big Show lawn darts him?
Yeah. Before we get into the actual Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, we need to bring up something that came out of WrestleMania that this is just politics in the back, and for someone like Spug who has seen
they
some politics
have kept their,
in his life,
they should have kept their mouth shut. Move on. We saw the evidence of it last night. Do you really think R-Truth is supposed to be in the title match?
Okay, so you're obviously, you know that I was leading to John Morrison and Melina Perez.
Yep. Okay.
Well, let me preface it for fans real quick that don't know what we're talking about. This is reported by several outlets, including Pro Wrestling Torch, that there was apparently some major backstage heat on John Morrison and Melina Perez. No, this didn't have to do with them jumping into the pool at Skybar. Most of it is apparently directed at John Morrison, who reportedly brushed off Trish Stratus at WrestleMania 27 during their post-match celebrations, in which Stratus hugged Snooki, but when she went to hug John Morrison, he'd already turned his back. Morrison led Snooki to a corner of the ring and used the Jersey Shore star as a shield, apparently. Now, internally within WWE, and this is all rumor and speculation, I didn't want to gossip so you didn't hear it from me, that it was believed that Morrison purposely did this to spite Trish, who he felt took Melina Perez's spot on the show, and he had to portray himself as such so that she would believe that he was anything but rude to her. Apparently, behind the scenes and leaks leading to WrestleMania, Morrison had basically blocked and rejected any of ideas that Trish had for the match, and this apparently hurt her, and word got around, and da-da-da-da-da. So I kind of got to agree with Spug on this one. If creative didn't want to use Melina too bad. You should be a company person to shut up and be happy where you are.
Well, you saw the evidence. I will say this. You saw the evidence of it twice on Raw last night. Twice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because do you really think for one second, that the Bella Twins should have the women's title?
No. My friend Catherine Hollister normally listens in on podcasts, was very freaking out on Facebook last night. My wife Misty came in and said, we're not watching this, right? I said, no, not yet. Why? I says, well, don't read Catherine's Facebook page. I was like, okay. Jersey Girl in our chat room says, again, I ask, why are they pissed? Melina was a heel and never had a reason to be in the match. I can't agree more there. You turned her heel to take on other characters like Gail Kim and Eve Torres for the championship, and now you're complaining, oh my god, I'm not involved, what are you going to do? You're going to boot Lay Cool out of the match now? So obviously they're heading the couples therapy, so you know how wonderful that happened.
Originally I thought the plans for the match were Michelle McCool and Melina and Ziggler versus Snooki and Trish and John. But the thing is he's trying to be, he's like Skidmark. Remember last night? Oh, if she asked me to come home tomorrow, I would. He's trying to stick up for his girlfriend. He's trying to stick up for, and this is why you don't date wrestlers. You don't.
Yeah, ask Dave Bautista if you read his book. He'll tell you all about Melina Perez.
Didn't he date her?
He did something with her. Sir Rock and our executive producer and the god of internet radio says that originally the match was Lay Cool versus Stratus, Kelly Kelly, and John Morrison, and not Melina involved.
Whatever. I mean, you know, if you're... Trish Stratus has done things in the wrestling industry as a woman's wrestler that Melina will never, ever, 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 ever do.
Mm.
And reached heights in wrestling that Melina will never reach.
Yeah, she helped change. I'm not trying to take words out of your mouth, but in my view, when Trish came in as a part of TNA with Test Me, Rest in Peace, and Albert, she almost came in like a Miss Elizabeth, said, oh, we're never going to see her get in the ring. And you go back to Survivor Series 2002, I may be wrong on that, where she had the same debut of the Elimination Chamber match. She had...
I thought that was 01.
Absolute, may have been 01 or 02. It was the night that Michaels got the belt. At the
02. It was 02, you're correct.
And she had with then Victoria, now Tara, a hardcore match that I'm just sitting there going, okay, women aren't supposed to hit each other like that unless it's in a bar somewhere. And this is
look crazy. At her feud with Lita.
Oh yeah, you look at all. Look at her. She's done.
You look at her feud with. I remember the Monday Night Raw where Lita came lawn darting off the apron onto the floor and hit her. And this was before they had the padded side rails.
Oh yeah.
And Lita crashed into the guardrail. Crashed into the guardrail. And ended up, I think, hurting Trish's shoulder real bad.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
Trish, to bitch about Trish Stratus taking a spot at a pay-per-view that I don't care, that woman could be as old as Mae Young. If she's available for WrestleMania, you put her on the show somehow. You know why? Because it's showing respect.
Now, speaking of respect, we have to bring up your husband. Because, as we mentioned last week, World Wrestling Entertainment is no more, kids. So put your signs away. There is no WWE. Don't mind my wife. She has Glee blasting so loud that you can be heard in other counties.
What are they naming it now?
Naming which?
What is it going to be called?
It is WWE. The press release reads, this is the press release that was put out there to better reflect the company's global entertainment offerings. World Wrestling Entertainment, Inc., also known as the New York Stock Exchange's WWE, announced today as a new business model for future growth, including formally rebranding itself, WWE. Two key components to WWE's brand expansion will be the active pursuit to acquire entertainment content companies and the outsourcing of WWE's core competencies, television and film production, live event production, and licensing. As part of the new business model, the company will also focus on the development of new television products, including scripted, non-scripted, and animated programs, as well as the launch of a new WWE network in the next 12 to 18 months. The first program of the brand extension is the aforementioned Tough Enough, WWE's non-scripted program. This came direct from Vince McMahon himself. The new business model of the company better reflects what WWE is all about, being a global entertainment company. We will always be loyal to our core business that made WWE a globally known entity. However, the future of the WWE, I apologize, will be the addition of new entertainment content opportunities beyond the ring. This new rebranding initiative will be highlighted through a national consumer and business-to-business advertising campaign entitled Bigger, Badder, Better. And the campaign kicked off at WrestleMania. In addition, we bring up your husband, the man crush, known as Paul Triple H Levesque. He actually is known as that in this release. In addition to focusing on the expansion of the company will bolster its core business with the launch of a new talent development department headed by Paul Levesque. The new department will put a greater emphasis on worldwide recruitment, training, and character development to identify future WWE superstars and divas. And the first, it looks like two recruits, acquired under Levesque's new department was the signing of the former Mystico, now known as Sin Cara, and former the man who was the FIP World Champion, also a Combat Zone performer, and he'll be working next Tuesday for Evolve, and that would be Jon Moxley. So it definitely interesting, and it's almost like a few years ago where you lost the E, you lost the F, you'll get the F out as it was a few
people
years ago.
People will get used to it. It's not like they're getting rid of the ring and the entrance and WrestleMania.
They're trying.
They can try all they want. Vince can try all he wants to say, we're not wrestling. We're not wrestling. Well, okay, go ahead. You go ahead. But when you start pulling ratings like TNA, I guarantee you the next week you'll see on Raw, you know, steel cage match. Or, you know what I mean? You'll see when, and not that WWE would ever shrink to the size where they would pull ratings like TNA, but I'm just using it as an example. You know, of the worst case. If that were to happen, Vince isn't stupid. Vince knows what puts the bacon on his table.
Mm. One of our listeners, WWF Forever, said, who is better than the game to head up that department? The man studies footage from the 60s, for goodness sake. And he is a disciple of Ric Flair. He was a fan of, he's a fan of all genres. So I agree, who better, you know, he is the heir apparent, he is the son-in-law, father of three.
Well, when, I tell you what, when Vince passes, which it will be a sad day in wrestling when Vince passes.
And we may be on the air, who knows.
when Vince passes, you will see a legitimate push by Triple H to take the company back to its roots. And while it may be a publicly traded company, I guarantee you that at some point they will no longer be a publicly traded company.
You would take it off the market, really?
In our lifetime, I mean, you're what, 35? Something
36,
like that.
Yeah.
36. And I'm 29. In our lifetime, within the next 30 to 40 years, you will see the WWE no longer be a publicly traded company.
I'm still amazed to this day it went publicly traded back in the day. I believe it was 2001, because I remember Ivory talking about it on the Kayfabe Commentaries timeline thing. And to hear about it, I was going like, wait a minute, they're going who? They're going stock exchange?
At the time it was a good move. I mean, it was at the height of the popularity of wrestling. At the time it was a good move. You know, for a while there, like I said, I own shares in the company. You know, I do own, I think it's something like 100 shares or something like that I bought. I bought with a tax return check when I was like 19, because I thought it would be cool to own a part of the WWF at the time. For a while there, the stock didn't move. It stayed at $11.76 a share. And it moved maybe 10 or 15 cents up or down, you know, total. For like the span of 5 years, it didn't move. So for a while there, it wasn't a good investment.
Yeah, Tony O giving us an OWW Radio stock report. He said their stock currently costs like $12 to $13 a share at the current moment. Mm-hmm. Someone is saying it's up to $11.30 a share. So, I mean, I don't follow a stock market at all. I'm not one of those CNBC guys.
When I bought it, it was at $11.76 a share.
That's not bad. Now, I mean, we even reported here a few weeks ago that it was a buy company from people. I'm like, hey, your movies really aren't doing that great. And, you know, it depends who we talk to. Jim Barcelona a few weeks ago said that they're in trouble financially. I'm like, well, sure don't look like it. They packed almost 80,000 into the Georgia Dome, dude. And that's a pretty good gate sitting right there.
I don't think they're in as much trouble as people want to make it out to be. If... You know, and they may be. I mean, they hit it fairly well. They hit it fairly well in the 90s when WCW was coming on strong. So they very well could be. They very well could be an extreme financial difficulties.
Well, it could be one of those going back, you know, all that XFL money you had to write off and all that other stuff that Vince does, extracurricular, that everybody goes, why are you doing this, dude? Because you can?
I don't know, but, like, with their new direction, that's fine. Yeah, you have to grow and expand to be successful in business. The only problem that the internet smarts and the majority of people who listen to people like you and I, Alan, think they know everything about the business. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to listen to them squabble in chat rooms and on forums boards. It really is. Because they don't have a lick of common sense. The majority of them. Now, people are gonna think I'm singling them out. No, if I was gonna single you out, I'd say something. But, quite honestly, if you go onto a forums board, or you go into a wrestling chat room, and just listen to them. Just listen to them, and read what they say. It's absolutely hilarious. But, the majority of those fans, are gonna have an issue with, and even the hardcore fans are gonna have an issue with the fact that they're moving away from what brought them to the dance. You know, Vince is trying to say, oh, well, we're not wrestling. And that's fine. You know, you've said for years that you're entertainment. And I can go back and I can point to interviews from Hulk Hogan in the 80s. You know, where he said he was the king of sports entertainment. That's fine. You know, you go ahead and call it that all you want. But at the end of the day, it's a 20 by 20 ring with three ropes, a spring in the middle, plywood, padding, and canvas. It's a wrestling ring. It's the squared circle. It's what you built your empire on. Don't forget that.
It's a gray area. I'm happy that they're moving on and expanding out. Because, I mean, you said you look at their schedule of DVD releases. You've got a movie with John Cena called Blood Brothers coming in November. You've got Inside Out with Triple H coming. You've got, I believe it's called Bending the Rules with Edge coming out in August. Randy Orton apparently has a film called That's What I Am on May 10th. So, I mean, I personally don't have a problem with it, but I see what you're saying, and folks are sitting there going, stick to the wrestling, because every time you go away from it, you run into trouble, a la the WBF or the ICO Pro supplemental thing, which, thanks to my friend Jason Davis, we watched the first couple episodes ever of Monday Night Raw from Manhattan Center, and I'm going, oh my God, I forgot about that ICO Pro stuff. So, man,
it's a perfect time. If TNA could get their shit together, because, I mean, well, companies like Dragon Gate and Evolve and ROH are great, and they continually feed new lifeblood and new talent into WWE and TNA. If TNA could get their shit together long enough to realize that there is an opportunity to capitalize on here. I mean, you know, the powers that be are essentially, you know, are essentially staring them in the face going, knock, knock, you know, we're here. Opportunity. Because while WWE is going away from wrestling, you have the perfect chance to step up and say, we've always been wrestling. We've always had the best wrestling. You know? You will find no better wrestling in 2 hours on a Thursday night than you will find right here at TNA. Get rid of all the stupid storylines. Take the book away from from Vince Russo. You know, don't let him write storylines anymore. Quit letting him do dumb shit. Give Eric Bischoff the checkbook.
Well, he's got executive producer title right now.
Right. So, you know, look what he did with WCW. You know, start over. Because when he took over that company, when he took over WCW, he had nothing. Give him almost nothing. And if you can't do that, get rid of all of them and bring in Dave Lagana and bring in
us,
Paul Heyman.
Bring in us, we'll do it.
Or I'll do it. Buy me a brand new truck and I'll do it. You know. But you bring in somebody competent enough to be able to handle the wrestling side, and you just let them go. Now, you're going to have to put some sort of restraint on them a little bit, because we've seen what happens with TNA when you just let people go. I mean, WCW ran shows throughout their existence and height of popularity from Universal Studios. I can remember watching, you know...
Yep, the Disney MGM Studios, which actually for a while was the set. If you came to Disney and if you went to Hollywood Studios and you did the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the game, that's the studio that you were in.
Right, and I can remember, even at the height of their popularity with Thunder and Nitro, watching, you know, WCW at 6:05 on TNT or on TBS.
Saturday night, baby.
On Saturday night. And yeah, they would show clips from Nitro and Thunder and stuff, and they used it to get over Thunder and Nitro to, you know, make you want to watch that because those programs were live. And so you can use the impact set in Universal Studios for that purpose. You know, film an hour of guys that aren't really on your roster, so to speak. You know, Shark Boy, and you have one match that's, you know, AJ Styles versus Jeff Hardy or what, you know, one of your big name talent. You have one match that's a big name.
Well, isn't that what Explosion is on an international level?
I've never seen Explosion, but
you won't because it's not on here in the United States anymore. It's all international now.
I guess it could be, but you could keep the name Impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
And throw it on Saturday night for an hour. I'm sure. I'm almost positive that you could find somebody with today's day and age that would be willing to put a little bit more dollars and effort behind your program and behind your company than Spike is. We've seen what wrestling has done on Spike TV. ECW and WWE. Didn't really have great runs on TNN / Spike. So I'm sure you could find somewhere to go, to be quite honest with you, other than Spike. But if you... TNA has a golden opportunity right now to put themselves at the forefront of wrestling and become that product that we've all wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know if they can do it. Two, with the buffoonery that goes on there, I just don't see it happening. But if they manage to pull it off, fantastic. I will be a TNA fan because they have some of the greatest wrestlers around.
And as we say that, before we go back into WWE stuff, I need to mention this Sunday is TNA Lockdown's pay-per-view from Cincinnati. No word yet if Ochocinco is accepted. I'm sorry, you're thinking of going?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You can wrestle on the show. You can take on Ochocinco if you want.
It's Cincinnati's a four-hour drive from me.
Yeah, we'll cheer you on. We'll cheer you on if you get on the card. This is the card as it has been announced up until last Thursday's Impact, which in its own right was another situation of, wow, what happened there? Your world champion Sting will take on Mr. Anderson and RVD. Your knockout champion Madison Rayne will take on Mickie James with her hair on the line. Kurt Angle versus Jeff Jarrett. A four-way tag match of Eric Young, Orlando Jordan versus Inc. versus Scott Steiner and Crimson versus, unless I'm reading the tea leaves and stuff wrong here, it's Douglas Williams and Magnus. We're really hoping it was Desmond Wolfe. Once again, if you know where he is, contact us, radio@allmyworldofwrestling.com. There's millions of wrestling fans who want to find him. Looks like we're going to get another Matt Morgan versus Hernandez match. I don't know if Anarchia or Sarita or Rosita or anybody else with an Ita at the end of their name is going to get involved in this match. We already saw them this past Thursday on Impact defeat the team of Brother Devon and Tommy Dreamer. We will have an Ultimate Escape match, which I believe at one point was supposed to be Kazarian versus eight other people. Now it looks like Kazarian is going to be somewhat involved in the lockdown match, lethal lockdown match of Fortune versus Immortal, which that team in its own right has gotten a little mulled up for Immortal. I think it's Bully Ray, Matt Hardy, Abyss, possibly Ric Flair. Good God, I hope not.
Please, Rick, stay out of the ring.
Yeah, so Kazarian's either in the Fortune faction match or he is a part of Ultimate Escape. If you've seen previous lockdowns, Escape is basically what you think it is. It's old school WWF cage match. Climb over, get out, congratulations, you win. And I believe you be either, if Kaz is in there, it's you become the champ. If you escape, I believe you become the number one challenger, contender, or one of the many that are in line to get to him. Unfortunately, this past week, it looks like Generation Me, heaven forbid we have a tag team division. Let's just break them all up and feud. They were a part of the losing team of taking on Chris Sabin, Brian Kendrick, and Suicide. They lost with Robbie E. Had some friends that watched this event that said they actually liked the post-show stuff that went on with Anderson, where it looked like he was going to become the newest member of Immortal. Murphy and Rob Terry come out, they raise him up on their shoulders, because he helped RVD defeat Sting when he hit Sting with the mic check to lay him out. Then he laid out RVD with the world championship belt, and then Hogan comes out, he's cheering him on, all right, brother, and then Anderson lays out Gunnar Murphy and Rob Terry. So, I mean, how much of further can they take this situation with Anderson? Are they totally dropping the ball with the Anderson character from the way, I mean, taking the championship off him to put it back on Hardy to go everywhere else? Is this going to be turned into another Samoa Joe situation of like, yeah, he's on the roster somewhere?
I hope not.
Yeah, I know how Mace feels about Anderson, so I won't ask him if he does return. I mean, take us through. I mean, do you think
he's back? Mace is here.
Mace is here. Wow. All right. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I had to step out for a moment. But quick note to TNA with that little Ken Anderson thing with Gunnar and what's his face, Rob Terry.
Yep.
If you're gonna do this and make us believe that Anderson suddenly turned heel, don't send the jobbers out.
Sense! Do you make it?
Wow. Oh, sure, go right ahead, Sorok, and you want to quote something on the TNA thing, go right ahead.
On the whole, the swerve thing, and I quote, there we go, good booking, quote unquote, Tim Stein.
Tim would.
Wow. Yeah, I apologize to Jersey Girl. She's like, TNA talk is putting her to sleep. I guess that's why the ratings are there. I'm wrapping up the TNA thing. Stay with me. We're going to get back into talking about WWE in a moment or two here. I'll wrap it up by saying this. A great way to push Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels. You have him lose to Bully Ray in his first match back on TV. Awesome. The other match on the show was Samoa Joe defeating Murphy in, I think, 30 seconds, maybe more than that. And it looks like we all may be possibly drinking what Angelina Love is drinking, thanks to Winter. But if I get to work with Winter and look at Winter, I'll drink whatever they want to put in my hand. This Sunday is the pay-per-view. So, 11 o'clock Eastern on this very network, Wild Talk Radio. The Russell Talk Radio folks will take you through all of that. Depending on my schedule, I may or may not even be watching the show, which may be a first for me. Now that Mace is back, we will move back to WWE. I know Spug is against time here, as he has to get moving on. So thanks for joining us tonight, Spug, and hopefully your truck search gets better soon.
Oh, it should. It should. I have a bead on a new truck that is a 99 Chevy S10 that the guy kind of rat rotted out. He dropped it with a four inch drop in the front, 5 inch drop in the back. He's got 3-inch white walls on it. It really looks pretty. I mean, it looks like a nice truck. He's asking 28, and he lives like two towns over from me, so I'm going to go.
Did he sound English?
No, he didn't. He didn't at all. He's very much American. So I'm so pissed about that. You have no idea how pissed I am about that. I could understand if you picked some random person. But the thing that pissed me off the most is that they pretended to be a retired gunnery sergeant in the United States Marine Corps.
Yeah, that's really out there to do something like that.
That's fucking low. I mean, just low. And to sit there and say, oh, I'm leaving for Afghanistan, you know, my deployment date is April 21st. Okay. That's great, you know? Thank you for serving our country. That was my whole deal. And to find out that it's a scam and that people will sink that fucking low, it makes me want to punch somebody in the face.
Definitely. If you think he's upset now, wait till Otaku Talk Live tomorrow night where he's got an uncensored mic. He can have at it all he wants.
Oh, by then I'll be fine. I'll just watch Roots backwards and be okay.
Oh, wow.
If you don't get that reference, tune in to last week's Otaku Talk Live where that's all explained.
I'm just going to be sad because I'm going to hang up with you and then Jamal's going to call in.
He may or may not. I'm not sure if Kevin is still in the room listening.
I'm going to miss my weekly fix of Jamal.
Or not, if he's a part of our chat room at wildtalkradio.com. He may call into your show tomorrow night, for all you know.
You know what? I'm beginning to wonder if Jamal is gay.
Wait, what?
He had a female who wished to watch movies with him last week. And he spent an hour and a half on the phone with us.
Talking about,
watching Roots backwards.
and stuff we will not mention on this show.
Oh my god, dude. The subjects we covered.
Save it for the archives.
Spug, say hello.
Hello?
There he is. Figures, you show up, he leaves. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin K. Scott, guest starring as Jamal.
What's going on?
Are you sure you're not gay, by the way?
I am absolutely positive, yes.
Wait, I mean, you did have a woman there last week.
Yeah, so that would be a good sign, right?
Well, dude, you spend an hour and a half on the phone with three guys.
Like, I want to talk to a woman?
You didn't have to make her talk. From what I understand, sir, you don't need a fancy email. That's all I'm going to say.
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
See?
So let's leave it at that.
There you go.
I like the divas.
Definitely check the archives of wildtalkradio.com to hear all the fun that they had this past Wednesday night. So say goodnight, Spug.
Goodnight. I'll catch you guys later. I'll see you next week.
Take care.
Where we will rip apart lockdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, are you going to partake in the show Sunday, Kevin, or have you totally abolished TNA on your mind?
I'll be honest, I have recorded the past couple of weeks, and I seriously tried sitting down to watch them, and I ended up erasing them after probably about 5 minutes. I may or may not tune in just see a train wreck, hopefully, but I really don't know if I can sit through the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm hoping, Mace, that we do not have a minute 28 second match on this lineup that we've seen. I mean, maybe there's fans that are sitting there going, dear God, let Madison Rayne, Mickey James be that short, or Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett be that short.
Oh, look, I'll be honest with you. We haven't had Impact here in Australia for the past 4 weeks.
Lucky.
It is gone from our television networks. And I even asked Eric Bischoff the other day, are you doing anything to get it back? And he's like, I don't know.
The executive producer doesn't know.
Pretty much.
That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome that the executive producer of your product doesn't know the international workings of your company. Thank you so much for that note. I like hearing stuff like that because it makes me want to type up my resume and send it up to Nashville and go, you're kidding, right? This is what you're providing.
Pretty much. I got the chance to inquire with Mr. Bischoff directly as to what's going on with the Australia situation, and he pretty much went, I haven't a clue. They don't tell me anything. So it's WCW all over again, ladies and gentlemen.
Woohoo!
That's brilliant. In our remaining time, now that both Kevin and Mace are here, we thank them for their time. We got Spug's reaction to everything that's gone on with Edge. So to Kevin, it's most obviously Sir Rockin told us from his notes that he's received from people that were at the live SmackDown event tonight that Edge basically gave another speech and surrendered the world championship. Thoughts on Edge as a performer and the way that he's unfortunately going out?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Edge, and I want to thank Adam. He has, I would say, as a fan of the product, he has been somebody who obviously I've grown somewhat of an attachment to Drew throughout the years. Always enjoyed his work in the ring. Obviously, there was that period where, you know, the whole Hardy Lita situation kind of made him persona non grata for a lot of people. I like to think of him as someone who really actually loved the business. We all know that he was a fan. We know that he was at WrestleMania, was it 7 or 6, I can't remember which one it was now, sitting in the crowd. Genuine good guy in terms of he built himself up to a certain level. I can't say maybe he was one of the greatest superstars ever, but definitely in his era, definitely his generation. Incredible tag team wrestler. Would have loved to have seen him a little bit more towards a singles career, but unfortunately, when his injuries came into play, it's just a complete sad situation that he has to walk away because of this. Like, I know, much like everybody else, when I was watching last night, at first I was like, all right, is this legitimate? I really couldn't tell. And then when he left the ring, because I was expecting Alberto Del Rio or somebody to come out, was waiting for that, never happened, came back from commercial break, he's walking in the back gorilla pit, he got the face and heels, and I think that's when it really hit him, like, wow, this is legit. Just an absolute sad moment, not just for him and his fans, but it's just for wrestling in general.
Yeah, and as we said earlier with Larry Dallas, Rebby Sky, they were both in the same boat as we are, Mace, and just going, wow, this is something you don't like to see, but at least WWE let him go out on his terms as opposed to saying to him, by the way, we need you to lay down Tuesday and drop the belt.
Yeah, it was definitely a different type of exit. Very, very respectful right down to, you know, the whole walking back through the curtain and they're showing, you know, all the guys' faces, heels, no matter who it was, you know, clapping and you know, shaking his hand and everything. Very, very respectful way for him to go out. But it's sad that yet again, the risks of our business has forced another great competitor out.
Yep, and, you know, and
I'm sure this will bring up the whole, things like insurance and unionization to cover stuff like this from happening and all that crap again, but who knows?
Yeah, we unfortunately lost a match for Extreme Rules, which is here May 1st at the St. Pete Times Forum. Obviously, Alberto Del Rio will now be taking on Edge. Hopefully, they'll have some form of world championship match, possibly maybe Christian versus Alberto Del Rio or something they'll build within the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. We do have two matches announced for this show so far, and the first one is not a surprise. We figured this was coming, that Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross will team once again to take on Michael Cole and the man he smacked around last night on Monday Night Raw in Jack Swagger. I thought they teamed once before back at a Taboo Tuesday, Cyber Monday, one of those things, Sirach, and I'm probably wrong, I apologize if I am, but I swore that Lawler and Ross were a tag team once before.
Oh, you're probably right, and Michael Cole also was in a tag match, but we're not supposed to remember that either.
Of course not, nor do we wanna. Yeah, the other match that is announced, we found out through Monday Night Raw last night, thanks to some interesting promo work, where instead of getting The Miz in the ring, like Marky Mark wanted, and thanks to watching VH1 the other night, my wife now knows why I call John Cena Marky Mark. She watched the top number one, the 40 one-hit wonders of the 90s, and Good Vibrations by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch was there, and all of a sudden it was like that moment in Chasing Amy where Banky puts it together. Like, I get it. So not only did you get him come out and saying, I want to be the WWE champion going into WrestleMania, so of course you get Randy Orton, The Miz. Later on in the night, of course, Randy Orton, John Morrison, R-Truth, and Dolph Ziggler, and Vicky Guerrero, which would have been interesting. Maybe you could have made it a six-person gauntlet with Vicky in there. To Mace first, well, we brought it up with Spug while you were stepped out. We brought up the issue of Trish Stratus with John Morrison and Melina. We have a new Divas champion, and it looks like it may end up being both Bellas with Twin Magic, with becoming the Divas champion, taking out Eve Torres. Is this a smack to Melina? Is this part of the punishment for her shooting her mouth off with John?
I'm more probably thinking that Morrison not being, like, being put, stepped down, in favor of R-Truth, that was the punishment.
Okay.
Don't really know what to say, and I don't really know how to phrase anything I want to say without using 10 ton of expletives.
Okay. Well, let me ask Kevin, if you want to give it a shot, I have no problem with it. We don't have a censor button, unfortunately, so I can't. No, this isn't Demolition Man where you're going to get fined every time you talk. I don't have the bank or something to cover you up here. So.
Hey, I liked that scene where he had to go and get the toilet paper. That was amusing.
Just another three seashells. Well, let me ask Kevin this, because for fans that are watching the show last night, they saw a Bratz doll, which at least looked like a Bratz doll, get annihilated by some very neat-looking braids and everything, which obviously to every wrestling fan knows that is Kia Stevens, the awesome, amazing, whatever you want to call her, Kong. Putting the belt on the Bellas like that, is it just a setup to get Awesome Kong debuting on Raw?
I imagine so, but... I think that's probably just perfect timing in terms of the whole, Morrison Melina, bit. But yes, the Kong promo was just, I don't know if it was as well done as I would have liked, but definitely got me excited.
Okay, Mace, how soon do you debut her after Extreme Rules? Do you have her? How do you piece this? Because apparently fans wrote me saying that the same promo also aired on Florida Championship Wrestling down here, so she may end up coming here to Tampa for a couple get-the-rust-off situations. How soon do you think Kong hits TV?
Well, just slight spoiler alert, people. It does play on SmackDown as well. Same as what they did with the Sin Cara situation. You know, promos were on Raw or on SmackDown. As for when you're going to debut Kong, if you're not going to debut her at the pay-per-view where she can do some damage legally, because that's meant to be their extreme pay-per-view where anything goes, you put the women's title, you know, you have the both Bellas in the ring and Eve, and you have Kong walk out and wipe all of them. Turn them into smears of plastic on the canvas. Because let's face it, that's all those girls are, plastic. But if you're going to debut her, you've got to debut her in a situation where she is going to wipe everybody. If they're going to just play these little packages and then go, oh, well, she comes out and hits the implant buster once, and then she's in a match and gets absolutely steamrolled, you're going to blow the character. We don't need another flub-up like we did with Sin Cara.
Yeah, who, thanks to a trampoline, made his Raw debut taking on Primo Colon, who he had actually taken on at a couple house show events. I was actually surprised and very pleasantly to see Primo getting some TV time, because it's almost, he's one of those guys, Kevin, that you just go, the dude can work, man. It's just, you know, get him off the frickin' superstar show. Let him work a few matches.
Well, I think it had more to do with the fact they probably, had a past. I'm really not too up to date on what goes down below the border, but I'm sure that the two of them crossed paths before, and that there was more about comfort as opposed to giving Primo a shot.
Well, actually, it probably would have had to do with the fact that those two have been working the house show circuit extensively for the last couple of weeks. So they're just putting the house show match on television.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how either one of you feel about it, but I'd like to see him eventually mix in with people like Evan Bourne, like Daniel Bryan, see what he can do. Because, I mean, he's got to change somewhat of the... For fans that have never seen him compete as Mystico, I'm sure there's matches on YouTube that you can find or go to any DVD outlet like RF or High Spots. But I know at some point you have to change a little bit of your stuff. But, I mean, some of the stuff he was pulling off against Jax that he did on Jack Swagger on SmackDown, my jaw just sit there going, wow, look, Rey Mysterio 10, 15 years ago.
I thought the exact same thing, actually.
Yeah, apparently I'm less confrontational, Randy? Wow. I didn't know I was more confrontational. Some of our chat room folks are talking about their previous call-ins to our show and whatnot. It looks like not only are Lay Cool going to couples counseling kids, it looks like the core may be heading there as well. We had on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown some interesting stuff. And once again, Santino Marella brings the funny, as they like to say, with instead of the core, he represented the apple. Ha, ha, ha.
Hey, if they put Apple Powers Unite on a t-shirt, I'm buying it.
I don't know, man. I'm just sitting there watching it this morning. I'm sitting there with my breakfast. I'm sitting there with a muffin, and all of a sudden I'm like, uh-oh, Santino's coming. Let me put that down. I don't know if I want to buy it. It's almost like watching Robin Williams do comedy. You're like, I'm thirsty. Crap, he's still talking. Let me put it down here.
Well, the only one who could pull the Apple gimmick off is Santino.
Oh, by far.
Yeah, as mentioned, we had the Raw General Manager set up a 5-person gauntlet match that involved Ziggler, Orton, Truth, Morrison, and Marky Mark, no Funky Bunch involved. We'll go match by match because some of these pairings were interesting. To see Dolph Ziggler with Randy Orton, let alone go over on Randy Orton, was a surprise for me. I don't know about you, Kevin, but I was very surprised to see Randy Orton go out the way he did. I mean, I know it sets up everything with Nexus coming back to take him out, but to see Ziggler win either way, surprise to you or expected because he had already competed for the WWE or World Championship against Edge?
I think I lean more towards the expected aspect. That's more surprise. Unfortunately, the first time around, I actually fell asleep, woke up, and saw R-Truth and Cena in the ring. I was like, what? So I had to rewind a little bit, and I saw it, and I was like, all right, I can understand why it progressed the way it did, obviously taking the whole Morrison thing into consideration. But just for Dolph and Orton alone, I think that was probably a smart move just to, I hate to put the words, to try to say elevate the guy, but that's exactly what they were doing.
I mean, it's an interesting setup, Mace, to move him. I mean, you knew at some point some form of Nexus was going to reappear, but wouldn't you, and are you hoping this sets up something again with Nexus versus him? Do you see maybe a handicap match at Extreme Rules of some kind with Nexus? Or are you like a lot of fans that have written us going, can we just kill Nexus and get it over with?
Well, it's not so much kill Nexus as I'm actually happy that they're looking to kill off the core of all people, because it was something that we were wanting, about 2-3 months after they debuted and got their butts handed to them by Cena every week. As for the Nexus, if they were still working with Randy, good on them. you know, I enjoyed the Randy Orton CM Punk match at Mania. Give me more.
We came back from the commercial break and got to see R-Truth defeat Dolph Ziggler and then defeat John Morrison. Now, obviously, this many people are saying is the political move, you know, you mess in our cabbage patch at WrestleMania, you can't keep yourself out of Skybar swimming pool, dude. So now you get to go sit in the corner and no fruit cup for you, it seems like. Is this a fitting punishment to him? To have him on TV and have him job out Mace, to use a term that many fans may not like or inside people wrestling don't like.
Yeah, I suppose. Don't know.
No, I mean, to Kevin as a fan, if you didn't know what was going on, were you fine with seeing Truth take on Cena later on in the show?
I unfortunately do go on the internet way too much, so I kind of knew a little bit of backstory. Morrison, what are you thinking in that situation? Like, I completely understand the whole idea of trying to stand up for your girlfriend or whatever. But this exact, I know it was mentioned before, this exact reason why you shouldn't date people you work with, because things can blow up in your face easily. The idea that you're insulting a legend, the idea that you're putting not so much your job on the line, but your standing on the line. Just a really dumb move. And besides, who the hell wouldn't want to hug Trish Stratus?
Yeah, I know Omega on our network would be going nuts. Some of the folks in our chat room are saying that this is at least Randy Williams, who called in earlier, is saying this is at least the third or fourth time that Morrison has messed up with the WWE. And I won't honestly know. How many lives does this guy have left other than, you know, he's Melina Perez's arm candy? At some point, you know, the whole parkour thing is really great, but could he possibly be on the future endeavors chopping block come after? It's been said, Mace, that possibly after the European tour that they're going to do, where Raw is going to be from the O2 Arena in London. Do you think this London trip and going overseas is a make-or-break situation for Morrison?
Yeah, he'll definitely have to watch himself while he's over in London, because by the sounds of it, he's pretty much sitting there and the big butcher's knife is standing over the top of his contract going, I'm going to drop if you put one more foot out of line. Which is, well, it's what happens when you let pussy rule your life.
Now, hopefully we don't have a situation of him becoming Matt Hardy and jumping on YouTube and everything overseas. I really hope. So, I mean, he's a great talent. That's the worst part. I know there's listeners that are probably sitting there going, why are you crapping on the dude? Well, the guy made his own bed. Now you got to lie in it, to use the old catchphrase. I agree with what Mace is saying. I agree with everyone else has said here. You need to take your personal stuff and leave it out somewhere. Look at Jerry Lawler a few years ago with his now ex Stacy Carter. She got booted out in 01, and Waller followed her out, and unfortunately he lost some time in WWE. Now, go back to Edge and Matt Hardy and Lita. Sable and Brock Lesnar and other stuff. You know, the rumors of Trish Stratus and Kurt Angle. It's like, none of this ever works out well. And obviously for John Morrison last night, it didn't. So we got to see former NWA World Heavyweight Champion R-Truth, Ron of Truth Killings, take on John Cena. And of course, The Miz couldn't resist him and A-Rai, the executive director of I Don't Know What I Do, But I Got a Real Long Title and Get Paid for It. Jump in. They're like, all right, cool. No number one contender. Thanks for coming. Ball game over. Drive home safe. The Raw GM for once actually does something right. And at our event here on May 1st, you will see triple threat rules applying. I don't know how that's extreme, but okay. Your champion, The Miz, will defend against R-Truth and Marky Mark. Possibly got a couple weeks here to go, but do you see, we saw it, Kevin, at the end, you know, the slapping on the back, and I slap you, and I slap you, and oh, wait a minute, you're slapping me a little hard there now, and Do we see at some point another match between Truth and Cena before we get to May 1st, or is this enough to build some tension, maybe do more backstage vignettes in your mind?
I would probably go the backstage route. Honestly, I don't want to sit through that match. I did the triple threat either, quite frankly. But I did like how the show ended. I liked that little uncertainty, maybe showing that possibly Truth might stab him in the back or, you know, Cena or whatever. So if they keep going that route, maybe have some kind of confrontation in the ring, as long as it's not a full-on one-on-one match, I think that would take away from the pay-per-view.
Same question to you, Mace.
They'll probably go backstage segments for quite a while. Personally, I would have rather they turn around and go, okay, next week we're going to have Cena and R-Truth in a rematch to get this situation sorted because, you know, in the end, it's another situation that's going to give The Miz a sneaky way out unless they want to put the belt on Cena yet again.
Mm. Sir Rock is saying you'll see possibly Riley Miz versus Truth Cena one of the weeks ahead. I don't know if that's where you were going. I'm sorry.
They let Riley wrestle? My God, what an interesting concept.
Scary, isn't
it? Very. It's like watching TNA. But what I'm sort of getting at is they're building these situations where there's always some little sneaky way that The Miz is going to win. I want to see The Miz get a clean title win over John Cena. Like a proper 100% clean. No restarts, no interference from anybody. You want to make Miz a credible champion, have him go over clean on Cena.
Mm. I need to bring this news point up. I wanted to do it earlier when Spug was here, but I know he got a chance to answer this on Russell Talk Radio. The sad situation that has become Scott Hall. Out over the weekend, unfortunately, he made news for all the wrong reasons. He was a part of Top Rope Promotions' 30th anniversary show in Fall River, Massachusetts. Apparently, he showed up under heavy influence of some form of pharmaceuticals or alcohol. Apparently was slouching over and almost falling asleep during the pre-show autograph session. And apparently he was helped to the ring. Despite being told otherwise, he insisted on doing his part in the ring. The video is on YouTube. I believe Sorokin put it up on the Wild Talk Radio Facebook page. Apparently he was hit with by one of the wrestlers in the ring, either by a chair or something. He apparently went down like a ton of bricks. Go ahead.
He got attacked from behind and went right down with bricks. And they even had Scott Hall swinging a chair. That spot made no sense to me.
Yeah. Just Incredible apparently tried to cover for him, saying, "Oh, that's Scott Hall." Apparently he was escorted out and apparently went into a hospital in Massachusetts, and of course his agents came out and said, "I can't believe this is news and I'm offended," and that the company even put it out there. But it's a sad state of affairs, Kevin, for someone who had reached such great heights. And it's no secret he's had substance abuse issues in the past. It was made into a storyline in WCW. He, I believe, has some sort of pacemaker set up, or he had a port where he was on medications. He's been in and out of rehab with WWE. If you can give a comment or two on this whole situation.
I'm going to try not to curse. Not to do that for a comic effect, but because I'm generally pissed off by this whole thing. I watched YouTube videos. There's probably about 3 or 4 of them, you know, before, during, and after the match. Depressing is probably the best word to use while watching it. It's maddening that one, somebody can end up in this situation after you said the career he's had. It's pisses me off to no end that there's no one in his life that could break through And I know that's not because people haven't tried. You can only help somebody if they want to be helped. But he does have handlers. There are people there who thought that in his condition it was a good idea to put him on a plane to go to this event. The people who picked him up from the airport, they said, well, we knew there was a problem, but what could we do? Because obviously if we pulled him from the show, that could cause us huge issues in terms of the fans being disappointed. I can understand that, get that. However, you put somebody who, whether it was a legitimate mix up of the medication, whether he was intoxicated, there's still, you know, course going back and forth on that one. You put that guy in that ring in that condition where he had to be carried in, or he thought he was in England, not even New England, to where he was swinging a chair, to where anything could have possibly happened to either himself or somebody else. It's completely disgraceful and very disrespectful for the business. You realize Top Rope Promotions, they've been around for 30 years. No one's heard of them until this event, and now this is their legacy.
I believe John Cena's father is involved in a promotion in some form or fashion.
I want to say yes, but I'm not 100% on that.
Yeah, without totally overhashing things, Mace, we've seen it before. Claimed himself up. He claimed he's no more than A to Z, and this guy who probably could have taken down more drugs than Keith Richards at one point in his career. But why not just get him on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew already? You know, Scott can't get away from the camera apparently, and he had the last call with Scott Hall thing on YouTube through Chasing Rance and Mr. Saint Laurent over in Orlando. And Sean Waltman's been in and out of rehab, and apparently it worked for him. He's got people like Kevin Nash around him. But, I mean, is there a point where if you're Scott or Kevin, you know, if you're Kevin or Sean, you just wipe your hands and go, dude, seriously, I got nothing left here?
Well, they need to lock him into rehab and make him stay there. For all I've been hearing, the dude's been in... Anytime he's gone in, he's been in there a maximum of a month. This guy needs to be in there for 6 months minimum to get him off this crap. Whether it's pills, whether it's booze, whatever it is. Because right now, and I said this on Sunday, and I'm going to say it again, I am calling it now. Scott Hall dead within the year. He's going to fuck himself over, he's going to take something with the wrong something, and we're going to see it all over the news sites. And it's unfortunate that a guy of his situation, and you even said it yourself, Alan, they turned this into a storyline back in, what was it, early 99?
Something like
at
that.
Least, yep.
Yeah.
Why didn't they start this then? Why didn't somebody try and help him then? Why is it nearly 10 plus years later that where he's getting to the point where he needs the help? He should have had the help back then, and it's unfortunate that somebody as talented as he is has gone straight down into the toilet, and it's gotten to the point where myself, and I know that there are fans out there who have said the same thing, they're waiting to see Scott Hall's obituary pop up on news sites.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it may be a situation by the end, as you said, it's sad. And unfortunately, it's one of those having friends that have had substance abuse issues. If you don't want to get helped, there's nothing you can do. You can lock them up for 60 days or 6 months or 6 years. All he's got to do is hit the street and he finds a dealer or he hits the local bar. I mean, he was busted here in Orlando a while back for public intoxication and whatnot. So I said, I feel for him. I wish he gets some help. And it's a rough one. And unfortunately, it's been a rough one for me because I said, I was excited. Tuesday, cool, OWW Radio, All in World of Wrestling, super. And next thing I know, I get this note Flair Sweeney ended his life. I'm like, oh crap. And I thank everyone that wrote in, including Sal Haomi wrote in, Sal Renara wrote in, Jake Spicetta, Mitch Ryder did. We'll post that on the forum later. Brad Allen, Adam Pierce, the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion and former ROH star while Larry was there, sent this in, and this is amazing to read. I'll probably post it on my Facebook. Said, I remember your wit and your endless smile, which could brighten any room whenever you wanted it to. I remember your timing, your intuition, knowing the exact moment to react, when to frown, when to pout, when to be elated, and when to gloat. I remember your uncanny ability to talk to an audience into any situation, and I remember watching you do the same with your eyes and not saying a word. I remember you strutting in command of yourself, confident and brilliant, and watching people be in awe of you. I remember when that changed. I remember dreading the times when I had to bear bad news to you, even when I privately empathized. I remember your handshake and how you looked at me in the eye like a man, even when you would have been easier to avoid it. I remember you taking everything in stride, like it was you knew the road, because you would have been on there before. I remember talking to you sometimes for hours on end, on the road, because you'd been on it before. I remember talking to you sometimes for hours, with a tear streaming in my cheek and prayed for your wellness. I remember the last time I told you to be safe and I loved you and I meant it. So yeah. We will end on a positive note because we'll talk about the wonderful Wild Talk Radio Network. And I say I apologize for having that as a situation. I know there's a lot of folks on the network that are like, he killed himself, we don't give a crap, move on, but I was friends with the dude for a short time, so that's why I did it. And I don't take offense to other people's opinions. I just have to let it be known that there was protest from even my bosses that have said, why are you doing this? So here's a performer, I needed to do it. So, tomorrow night is OTL, as the other man on the phone line witnessed. You had the Jamal and all fun that he did. I mean, did you volunteer? Answer the question here if you can get away with it without, you know, dropping a bunch of bombs again. Explain this to me one more time. You had someone over your house to watch a movie, and instead of watching the movie, you talked with these three crazies?
That's not what happened.
Okay, break it down for me. What happened?
You can listen to it if you need to. What had happened, I was at home. You know, it was the night I got out of work. I was kind of tired. I was on Facebook, and I was contacted by somebody to join on the show. I heard a brief part of it, and they were talking about something that caught my attention, let's put it that way. So I joined on the show. We're talking a little bit. And maybe about halfway through, that's when I had my guest come over.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. If she was here beforehand, yeah, I would have been on the phone.
Yeah, so if you want to hear Jamal uncensored, tune in to the archive of OTL, because there are certain things we can't talk about on this show that he talked about on that show.
Here's a word of warning, bring a bath bag.
Yes, he has many fetishes, and they're all out there for the people to listen.
I like to work dirty.
Yeah. So, Geek Talk, right, Mace? Geek Talk?
Very much so. This week, I get to relive my time of standing in lines at this past weekend Supernova Pop Culture Exposition, and I actually got my hands on the elusive Duke Nukem Forever, so it does exist. I have played it. Liar. I shall give impressions on OTL tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sweet.
Exactly, and Saturday night, if you want an education, tune in to CB Radio, because you never know what we're going to talk about. We can talk about pop culture, the weird things in the world, or just weird subjects in general. Tune in, CB Radio, midnight-ish, Saturday night, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
And as mentioned, this Sunday is TNA Lockdown's pay-per-view event. Hopefully by 11 o'clock. Spug, Mace, Omega, Will, Tim Stein, and Sorokin all haven't hung themselves buy their own microphone cords. Yes, I just said that. Deal with it.
I might have to get drunk.
Wasn't meant for anything out of line. I apologize if I have offended.
You didn't offend anyone. It just
But after the way you numbnuts ripped apart the last TNA pay-per-view, you guys were ready to commit Harry Carey after whatever that horror we watched.
It can't be that bad, can it, this week? They're not at the impact zone. It's got to be good, right? Has to be. Has to be good. It's a cage match.
It's all cage matches, man.
It has to be good. It has to. Come on, TNA. Make this pay-per-view good. We want to cover something good. Please.
Please do, or the bunny gets it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, and as mentioned, that is at 11 p.m. Eastern. We will be back here this Tuesday night. We do have some folks in the works to be a part of the show. And once again, I apologize that we did not have a soundtrack for the evening, but with my two-year-old sick, she took precedence over a lot of the OWW radio stuff here. So thanks to everybody from Evolve Wrestling, Larry Dallas, Revy Sky, Jimmy Jacobs, Spug, Mace, Kevin Scott, Sir Rockin', Brad Diggins, Jason Deadrich. Next week also is Cauliflower Alley Club. If you haven't booked your stuff yet, look up Cauliflower Alley Club online and you can get hooked up for that event. We're working on some Cauliflower Alley guests maybe for next week as well. As always, the address is radio@allnightworldofwrestling.com. You don't like the show? Tell me. You like the show? Tell me. I'm really easy to find. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Gave up on your dreams along the way. Good God, you're coming up with reasons. Good God, you're dragging it out. Good God.